Is Karen on?
Karen is on.
Does she know about these changes?
I didn't have a chance to discuss them with her.
And just to be clear, we're on page 2 of the 3rd?
Of the March 3rd minutes, yes.
Page 2 of 6 on March 3rd.
Yep.
It was 6, okay.
And it starts on the prior page.
Yep.
About, right?
Yep, exactly.
So would you like to run that by us again, where you're at with this?
So I would propose that the second line of the top of page 2, where it says the motion was made, motion for the township committee approved amending the agenda to open discussion by the committee on the agenda. Then I would strike the 3 lines of language and replace that with discussion was held on the agenda, no action was taken.
What do you mean no action was taken on the agenda?
We didn't take any action to amend the agenda. That's why if the motion was to amend the agenda to open discussion by the committee on the agenda, maybe no further action was taken.
Well, we agreed to open.
Yes, we did agree to open. That's what I said. So the motion passed to open.
Right. And
discussion was held.
Had a discussion.
But no action was taken out of that discussion. We didn't change the agenda any further.
Oh, we didn't change the agenda, correct?
That's what I mean. So that's what I meant by no action was taken.
Okay. Right. And what was the second one? Or was that it? I thought you said you had 2 points? Or
No, that's the two. They're both the same. They're both A and B of 1 point, I guess. So I made that motion. Is there any discussion or a second of that motion?
I'll second.
Can I just ask for clarification
before
you do a roll call on this?
Yep.
So what you're essentially doing is striking out that entire paragraph stating what Mr. Abakowski wanted to discuss.
Correct.
In his request. In opening, so strike that out completely.
Well, it's
and
three,
just say that
three lines that exactly three lines that are replaced by discussion was held on the agenda, no action was taken, is the motion.
Okay.
Is there some? I didn't get that. Is there some reason why you do not want to leave that in there? Does not feel that the resolution reflects what the committee discussed at the meeting?
It only. If you look typically. Over the years, we've refined our thinking on the agenda, on the minutes, rather. Sorry. The recording fully reflects every word that was stated. You'll see through these minutes, it often says discussion was held. It doesn't say these people favored whatever for this reason, those people favored whatever for that reason. And I think we've discussed over the years that that puts the clerk in a very difficult position to appropriately characterize the comments that were made. So in that spirit, I believe it's more accurate, and the motion that's been seconded on the table that's before us now is to say discussion was held, and if the details of that discussion would be in the recording,
yeah,
it's available. But
that's fine.
So there's a motion, a second, roll call?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. So with that amendment to the minutes, any other discussion on the minutes, or is there a motion to approve the minutes as amended?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as amended.
Is there a second? I'll second. Roll call?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Okay. The minutes for the March 17th meeting have been tabled. So that the next action item is public comment limited to agenda items only. Reminding people this meeting is recorded, posted on the website promptly. And is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, any member of the public who would like to make a comment on the agenda items, please press star 6 to unmute yourself, identify name and road you live on. We're not hearing. Yes, now we hear someone. Yes.
Sorry. Took a second to unmute.
Yep.
My name is Evan Shea. I'm on Voorhees Road.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Cool.
The floor is yours.
So I can address the two resolutions, I guess, that are presented. It is 44-2021 and 34-2021, correct?
Yes.
Because they're on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to say, one, on the whole establishing an agenda policy, I generally support the notion that everything that is going to be discussed in a meeting should be brought to both the committee and the township in general, so people can, as many people rightly brought up, form thoughts and have, you know, an opinion on it and actually have some sort of thoughtful consideration of agenda items as they come up. I feel like there's like this caveat at the back that at the bottom where the agenda can be amended at the start of the meeting with a majority vote on such a motion. I feel like it gets like halfway there, but like, could this not be somewhat mitigated by having new issues that are brought up at the beginning of a meeting that were not on the agenda that like just action can't be taken on them? I feel like so many of these things are, like, it's most contentious when something is brought up and then it's like, oh, vote on it right now. So I think that's probably the public's frustration with it, as well as the members of the committee. As for the resolution 34-2021, I don't know. I find this whole thing fairly ridiculous. I don't understand how anybody, even if you just, like, you read all of it, whatever the intentions are behind this, the notion that the township committee will, quote, use taxpayer-funded resources in the preparation and execution of governing acts to advocate positions outside of its local jurisdiction, et cetera, et cetera, even if it is without ascertaining the actual sentiments of the township's residents, or even if it is known that they're in opposition to a significant portion of the township residents, seems utterly insane to me. Why would any Lebanon Township resident support this if you're going into it saying we will use this to advance your tax dollars to advance a position that we may know nothing about, which is, I guess, just crazy, but we might actually know you are in opposition to, and we're going to do it anyway. I absolutely oppose 34-2021 about the position outside the scope of the township's jurisdiction, just like whole cloth. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Press star 6 to unmute yourself. State your name, the road you live on.
Hi, it's Joyce Lepley, Red Mill Road. I have to say I completely agree with Evan Shea about the resolution about the agenda. That last paragraph just didn't work for me. It seemed like it was, you know, all of a sudden there was an exception. And I agree with Evan. I think the smart thing to do would be to consider not taking any action. That way the public has time to make an opinion. And I also, as it turns out, agree with Evan on the issue around the resolution spending taxpayer money and time and resources to advocate for positions. We had this discussion a few weeks ago, a few meetings ago, and there was so much public outrage. I hope everybody's going to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you. If anyone else from the public would like to make a comment, please press star 6 to unmute yourself. State your name and road. We're not hearing anyone right now.
Jack Conover Road.
Up, now we hear you. Please.
Can you hear?
We didn't catch the beginning. Please state your name and.
Sure. Laramie Silver, Muskinecon River Road.
As far as Resolution 44, 2021, about the agenda process, I certainly agree that we clearly need to clarify what the agenda process in this township is, because there has been a lot of difficulties over the last several months and possibly before that that have been very disruptive and not conducive to actually getting through the business that the committee needs to be doing to govern this township. However, I do have two issues with the paragraph reading, be it further resolved that the mayor and clerk will assess any requests for a topic to be placed on the agenda with respect for appropriateness, legality, sufficiency of supporting information, and it goes on from there, and also the final paragraph of any committee member who wishes to add topics to the meeting agenda at the start of the meeting. In those two cases, I would put forth for your consideration that those topics that either someone wanted on the agenda and the mayor and the clerk found to be unripe or inappropriate, as well as any topics that the committee member brings up at the start of the meeting that wasn't on the agenda, still be put into the record for the public to know about, but, as Mr. Shea said, no action taken them on at that time. I think with the final paragraph, it takes all the teeth out of the resolution, and I could certainly foresee every meeting just starting with a vote to amend the agenda, and we'd be right back into the morass where we've been for the last few months. And as far as the appropriateness, legality, and sufficiency clause, for the mayor and the clerk to decide that, especially in a mayor-light system of governance that we have, without the public ever getting to know that something was floated and found to be insufficient or unripe, is troubling for its lack of transparency. But I certainly applaud it being addressed for something to be done to bring meetings back into order. As far as Resolution 34, 2021, I have to admit I'm just puzzled. This was brought to the floor. There was lengthy, is putting it very mildly, public discussion on it, and also very impassioned discussion from the committee, and a workaround was taken. I believe a vote was taken to not address this resolution because the issue which 34 was designed to address had been taken care of another way. So I'm not clear why we're taking a second bite of this potentially poisoned apple. It deeply saddens me to see neighbors at each other's throats over a tempest in a teapot, a farcical issue that there's no need for the committee to address, no events precipitating this. It's set a tempest in a teapot, and to bring it back to the fore seems like a waste of taxpayer resources. Thank you.
Thank you. Next member of the public, make sure you press star 6 to unmute yourself. State your name and the road you live on. We're not hearing any additional comments. So last call, if anyone's trying to press star 6. Hearing no further comments from the public, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Then that takes us to introduction of Ordinance 2021-04, Stormwater Management. At the last meeting, there was a significant discussion on the draft. The engineer has redrafted, as far as I understand, as far as my recollection is concerned, incorporating all of the comments that were requested and discussed at the last meeting. Does anyone have any discussion, clarification they'd like to make?
No, I thank them for reviewing it and removing some of the language that was in there and inserting language that makes more sense for Lebanon Township. I think now it's something that we can put before us.
Thank you for all your work on that last meeting.
I think you're quite welcome.
You improved it significantly. So, any other discussion anyone would like to have? Otherwise, the action before us would be the introduction of Ordinance Number 2021-04, Stormwater Management, an ordinance to amend the code of the Township of Lebanon entitled Stormwater Management to reflect amendments to the New Jersey Stormwater Management Rules at NJAC 7:8. Public hearing on this would be held on May 5th, 2021. For the public's information, the township has very little scope to adjust any of what's in this this ordinance. It's to comply with Trenton statutes requiring us to have these regulations in place for local stormwater management. Would you like to add anything else? And we're under pressure to...
Correct, Mayor. What you said is correct, and we are compelled to take action at this point.
So unless there's any discussion, any clarification anyone else would like to make, is there a motion to introduce?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So the public hearing will be on May 5th, 2021. Now we've got several resolutions related to our budget introduction. The first is Resolution 40-2021, a little bit of a formality. This resolution requests a delay in the introduction of our budget because we're past the deadline for March 30th. The state extended the deadline, yet we still have to, quite frankly, didn't provide the information we needed in time to have done it by March 30th. But now we need this resolution, 40-2021, requesting the Division of Local Government Services to accept a delayed introduction of our 2021 budget. Any discussion or motion?
Make a motion to adopt Resolution 40-2021.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. The next two resolutions are similar formalities. So Resolution 41-2021, what this allows us to do is to take certain grant revenues that are received mostly from the state of New Jersey into our budget so that we can then appropriate expenses against them. So we take into the municipal budget as items of special revenue, requesting the Division of Local Government Services to allow us to have these as revenues. It is the recycling tonnage grant for $4,099, Clean Communities Program, unappropriated from last year of $1,131, New Jersey Department of Transportation grant to repave East Hill Road for $183,500, and three additional miscellaneous grants totaling $189,085. Any further discussion or motion for Resolution 41-2021?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 41-2021.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then Resolution 42-2021. Again, this allows us to take two additional items of special revenues, specifically the agreement that we have with the local boards of education, for Woodland School, Woodland and Valley View School and Voorhees, where the township provides special law enforcement officers, and that their services are reimbursed by the school boards, as well as and that's in the amount of $215,000, and a $20,000, which I believe is actually should be $22,000 now that I'm recognizing that. So if we can amend that to make that $22,000 for mowing and snow removal services provided to the local Lebanon Board of Education. So the amount we're requesting to put into our budget is $237,000.
I'm going to make the motion to amend first and the motion to approve. Is that the procedurally?
Is that what you'd like us to do, either Karen or the attorney?
Yeah.
So
okay, I'm going to make the motion to amend the Lebanon Board of Education property maintenance to $22,000. For a total of $237,000.
And then while you're at it, at the very top, change $235,000 to $237,000, but put a comma in there.
Thank you. Yes.
Because if you read it quickly, it almost looks like 2.35 million.
Yeah.
And if we want to be completely sure that I've got my memory correct, let me look at the backup documentation. I guess it's not the end of the world.
I know we discussed that. If it made it to the papers,
it's not the end of the world if we're off by $2,000. But anyway, okay. If everyone agrees that they remember it the same as well, okay. So that the motion is to amend, as just described, Resolution 42-2021. Is there a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then
a motion to approve Resolution 42-2021 as amended.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Which takes us to the bigger event, Resolution 43-2021, introduction of the 2021 municipal budget. There would be a budget hearing, public hearing on this. I believe it would be at the May 5th meeting. Karen, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you very much. So a little bit of background here. The Township Committee held a couple of budget workshops headed by the Township CFO, who collects input from all the department heads and puts together a budget worksheet. The summary of the budget that we're introducing is that the budget uses conservative accounting. It meets the department requests. It keeps up with road and building maintenance and equipment replacement requirements. It has no borrowing. We don't borrow any new funds for this. And the impact to taxpayers is the property tax increase will be held under 2% over the prior year. Going into a few more details, total miscellaneous revenues you'll see on the resolution of $3.179 million. That includes the $2.63 million energy receipt tax that we talk about every year, which is the state years ago took over collecting that tax from the local utility assets in our township. They've held that flat for years after it did decline previously, so the risk is always that the state decides to reduce that, and that's, you'll hear in a moment, that's a major portion of our budget. And the fact that it's been flat puts pressure on the rest of our revenues to cover the slight increases that we have in expenses every year. The amount collected by local property taxes, as you'll see in the resolution if anyone gets it over the coming weeks, $2.741 million. So the state energy receipt tax is $2.63 million. The total property tax collected is $2.741 million, now slightly more than the so-called energy receipts tax. Going through the expense side, which is what we have more control over, salary and wages for the year 2021 budgeted at $2.479 million. Other expenses, these are professional services, materials, and the like, $1.78 million. Capital improvement, the headline number is $891,500. That includes the grant that we just mentioned. So the locally funded capital budget is $708,000. The debt service for this year is $480,786. That is a reduction of $324,000 from the last 2020. We managed that over the past years, watching that increase, and now we've turned the corner where our debt service is reducing in the coming years. Statutory expenses, those are pension payments, Social Security, and the like, $643,277. Reserve for delinquent taxes. And I note here for anyone who's interested that the township, as you know, collects the taxes for the schools, the counties, the high school district. We have to reserve at the municipal level for the uncollected county school taxes and the like. So you'll see a reserve of $453,000 because we not only are required to collect their taxes, but we pay their taxes. We pay the uncollected portion if that happens. So the total 2021 municipal budget, $6.930 million. The municipal tax rate, that's being introduced for 2021 is 0.294129.41 cents per $100 of assessed value. That is an increase of 1.93% over the prior year. From our tax assessor, we're told the median house value in Lebanon Township is currently $350,250. The median municipal tax rate, taxes paid based on that rate, is $1,030. Keep in mind, most people will have a tax bill closer to $8,000. Only $1,030 of that is the municipal portion, which is for plowing the snow and the police force and the other services provided by the municipality. The median municipal tax increase for that median house is $19.51 based on the budget that's being introduced tonight. Any discussion by the committee? Anything else anyone would like to highlight? Otherwise, is there a motion to approve Resolution 43, 2021, introducing our 2021 budget?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 43, 2021, introducing our 2021 budget.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. That's... takes us through the budget resolutions. So now Resolution 44, 2021, committee meeting agenda procedure. Let me first state that I think because of some of the recent events, we've had an understanding of the agenda procedure for some time, but I think it's worth putting it in writing and seeing if everyone either agrees or wants to amend this. Part of this was in consultation with the attorney, so words like in the first whereas clause, the committee of Lebanon Township is obligated to provide the public with advance notice of topics for discussion. The committee members also benefit from having this advance knowledge and being prepared for the committee meetings. We also, during the meetings, we follow Robert's Rules of Order, so when we look to change things on the agenda, we rely on the Robert's Rules of Order for how to do that, and our attorney would be the expert that we consult for that. The mayor and municipal clerk are tasked with preparing the agenda in accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act. It's the mayor's job to run the meeting, and so the mayor has to understand the agenda prior to the meeting, and so that's why it falls to the mayor to prepare the agenda. Clearly, as was pointed out, we have a so-called weak mayor form of government, so any member of the township committee may request that the mayor and clerk put topics on the agenda. So that's the background, the whereas clauses. Now for the be it resolved clauses, the procedure that we've had for some years now, we've tried to enforce, is that on the Thursday prior to the Wednesday of a regular committee meeting, the end of business is the deadline for people to submit topics for that agenda. That gives a business day for the mayor, the clerk, the township attorney, others to review and to make sure that the formatting is done and that everything is in order to have that on the agenda. We've also put in a local procedure that we request that people submitting topics for the agenda provide supporting information so that we put together an agenda packet to be distributed by the end of the day Friday to the best extent possible, which would then allow the committee members to have background information on the topics for the agenda. The next couple were addressed by the public as potential concerns. I believe this is the proposal. The committee can discuss it. That the mayor and the clerk, because we do prepare the agenda, will assess the request for topics to be on the agenda for appropriateness, legality, sufficiency. I don't think. And by the way, this wouldn't be personal decisions. We would consult the attorney and the like. If someone is going to ask that the township committee vote on a clearly illegal action, I don't believe it would be in the interest of the township to have that on the agenda to attract attention that, you know, the township committee of Lebanon Township is considering some illegal matter. So it's really just as a way to take egregious situations and have a check before they get through onto the agenda. Then on the next point, it says, for time-sensitive matters, especially matters with a financial impact on the township, which were not known at the time of the aforementioned submission deadline, they may be added onto the agenda after the normal deadline. I think, again, we need a little bit of flexibility, but the caveat is for time-sensitive matters that that come up after that Thursday deadline, where it would be in everyone's benefit. And that should hold through then to the last, further be it resolved, that any committee member who wishes to add topics to the meeting agenda shall introduce those. We could clarify that, but it was meant to be only for time-sensitive matters that have come up right up to the time of the meeting. I would ask the attorney if he would to clarify a couple of points for us. Number one, the beginning of this resolution, when it says that we have an obligation to inform the public of topics for discussion, we have an obligation that if someone has in their mind by Thursday preceding the meeting something that they would like to have on the agenda, they would not be fulfilling their obligation if they waited till the start of the meeting to put that on. If they know it on Thursday, it has to be put on the agenda on Thursday. If they know it at the start of the meeting, if we get to the start of the meeting and they know it, they have to start at the beginning of the meeting to say, I would like tonight to discuss this, so the public could at least potentially react in public comment. What I'd like them to address is the fact that we are encouraged to have an open discussion, and if topics come out of the discussion during the meeting, we can still take action that may not have been on the agenda because it just came to our attention during the discussion. But if it's pre-planned and somebody has something in their mind, we have an obligation to tell the public that we intend to discuss that in the meeting. Would you like to clarify that at all?
I can clarify it in that our obligation is to post on the agenda things that at the time of the posting are known to be set for consideration by the committee. So, yes, if it none of this is designed or intended to allow anybody to not bring it forward in that manner. I do think it's important to note here is we have a unique situation in that our clerk does such a good job of compiling all this information, putting it together, and we have a great packet, as I call it, and it's available relative to our meeting night early. So unlike other towns where there's agendas are late coming and not as comprehensive as ours, our standard order where we get the package when Karen sends it out, when the clerk sends it out, gives everybody an opportunity to go through what has been prepared. The issues we're trying to address are to recognize that in certain situations, despite all best efforts, there's two different kinds of situations. For example, a department head comes in on Monday morning and says, you know, I got an email about a grant. The deadline's on the 30th. We don't meet again until next month. Can we get it on? Everybody understands the exigency and the financial benefit to the township leads to us to consider that at the meeting. The other thing we talk about, the last paragraph, is to say, you know, it's Thursday morning. There's a lot of time between Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon and the following Wednesday night. And, you know, there's quite possibly, you know, every member here is out in the community that things come to the fore after agenda deadline. And that we're trying to establish a way so that those matters can receive appropriate consideration, but that we also remain cognizant of transparency and the public's right to prior notice. And the thing is that the committee, the reason it's worded as it is the entire committee then would decide, does this rise to the level, or can this wait until the next meeting? Because that's the other simple outcome is if a majority. And it doesn't say that, admittedly. You try to anticipate all the possibilities here. But if somebody wants to bring a thing in and they said, well, you know, I didn't have it ready on Thursday, or I think it's ready, the mayor and the clerk didn't agree, so I'm going to bring it forward, and then it's the body. It's not the clerk's decision. It's not the mayor's decision. The body decides, does it need to be heard tonight? Is it more appropriate to put it on for the next meeting? Or is there a particular thing? Do we need something from the Hunterdon County Prosecutor's Office? Do we need, and so on. And then the final thing is, yes, none of that constrains us from, and we've been in this situation a bunch of times in the last few years where there's a report or there's an idea or there's a citizen that comes in and it creates a decision point. Those that aren't anticipated, we're not precluded from acting, quote, on our feet, so to speak, to address the concerns that arise in our meeting. The whole point is the process is designed that at release and posting of the agenda, that which is known is on the agenda. And these other things were made as an attempt to address those exceptions which we, I don't want to say routinely, but that we inevitably face and have faced over my time here. So I think the primary point is what's known at the time of release should be on that agenda. And again, our clerk does a really good job of doing that. And again, it's a luxury of so much time between preparation and release of that and the meeting night, because quite frankly, it's the exception and not the rule.
And if I could say, 4 years ago when I was first nominated as mayor, that was one of my highest priorities, to try to institute getting the ideas on getting the agenda out early with backup information, because I could see from prior years when I was just attending meetings, things were coming in late. How could people make a decision? I also want to say one other thing. This resolution is, while it's binding on us as the committee members, to me it's also important to have it as a public written statement of our procedures. If someone from the public comes in on a Tuesday afternoon and says, can I have this on the agenda tomorrow? For the clerk's sake, for my sake as the mayor, I want to be able to say, no, we have a policy. Sorry, it didn't make tomorrow's meeting. There's just not enough time. We'll consider it for the following meeting. Likewise, if somebody is working on a topic, they now can ask, when do I have to have it in to be considered by this township committee? They now know Thursday is the end of business day Thursday. So it's not meant to constrain anyone. It's meant to put down an understanding so that we're all on the same page of that. And with that, I'll open it up to any committee discussion.
So, if I may, we have not codified procedures in the past?
To my knowledge, we've agreed as a consensus and then done our best to follow it, but to my knowledge, it's not been a written. I haven't been able to find a written resolution like
okay,
this.
So that consensus was never again codified as to how the agenda would run?
I'd have to look through the minutes to see if it was ever done by motion. I don't believe it's been done since I've been here.
Never did that.
Never been
since 2017.
So where did the procedures come from?
It has been discussed in the committee meeting.
Oh, okay. So it was
whether it had an official vote or not, but I hope everyone agreed. We've discussed getting information in by Thursday for Friday.
We've always done that, just housekeeping.
Right,
items.
Right.
Exactly.
So it just seems to me that this resolution actually conflicts with itself, because nobody was notified other than it was put on this agenda that this was going to be on the agenda, and there was no discussion.
It was on the agenda on Thursday. I don't understand how that's...
This was on the agenda, but, you know, when it's on the agenda as a resolution as opposed to new business where we can discuss whether a resolution should be developed.
Right.
That's the issue. Not to be given a resolution to vote on that you've only seen for a couple of days. So that's why I'm trying to understand. It would seem to me that things that need to be discussed that maybe will be put onto a resolution should come up as new business, where we discuss it and decide whether we want it as a resolution and what we want in that resolution. So that's really my first thought on this. The second is I also disagree with the mayor and clerk deciding on the appropriateness. I don't think the mayor and clerk should be gatekeepers for what occurs on the meeting. And the final one, I think that That, it seems to me that that's really like what I'll call for new business again. If somebody comes in and wants to discuss something and it's not on the agenda, and we agree to put it on the agenda, it should really be new business. It's not something we're going to vote on necessarily at that meeting, but it is something that might need to be discussed and we need to be aware of. So, you know, that aspect could be clarified. But again, I could not vote on this with the with that particular paragraph of the mayor and clerk deciding on the appropriateness and legality.
The question would be is, who do you think should?
Well, who has? Nobody.
We can't have
it as a committee.
We can't have a quorum before the agenda. So some, it has to be less than a quorum, or we just leave it to the clerk and the administrator to decide.
Well,
because we can't, we can't as a group discuss what's going to be on the agenda.
No, but that's why it's new business, so we can discuss it there.
In the meeting, five of us here.
Right. Yeah. You know, if somebody wants to put something on the agenda, it should go in new business.
So
that's what it says to do.
I defer to you with regard to the unusual or unique ones, but just routine resolutions that Karen and I work, refunding a veteran's tax, the things that don't require the type of building or review, Abe, that I think you are talking about. But and I guess at some point there's always that, where does that line end? But I think Karen and I have a pretty good working relationship where, again, a fee request, just things that we see routinely that are somewhat ministerial, I'll say, that because a lot of those, Karen gets them late and there's deadlines, and they really relate to the public. You know, somebody's waiting for a refund on taxes or something, like things that are just routine, whether they go through Jamie or whether they go through Karen, where they come from one of the department heads, because that, I think, to include them in your process would slow down our effectiveness.
I agree. I think you can put the appropriate language.
Yeah, and I think I'll regret saying this, but I think we have a pretty good idea of what those routine, repetitive actions are.
So I would also comment to that. For example,
Karen, is that you?
I might just first.
Yep.
Yeah, I just want to make it clear that I do not make decisions as to what goes on the agenda. The mayor and I discuss what gets on the agenda and what may not go on the agenda, but I do not make decisions on what will come before the committee for action, ever.
And just to add to that, Karen, it's Matt, that Karen and I often, I don't want to say every time, but often confer. And I'll ask Karen, you know, do we have a CAF on that, or is that a state contract? Or so she and I routinely review for that type, for a sufficiency, really, review.
Mm-hmm.
And
we would never deny something to be placed on the agenda.
And that's fair. I guess I was.
You just deliver the bad news.
I was referring more to the sufficiency type argument or position. But so going to your point, Abe. I would like to, I think the cannabis discussion has followed the model that you're talking about. It was first in new business. We collected committee input and thoughts. Now it's again on tonight with a further advancement getting into writing. I believe to have a thoughtful, you know, a conversation that makes progress, somebody has to put up a written document that people can then work off of. So whether it's introduced in the resolution point and everyone can say, oh, that's perfect, or the majority of the committee can say, no, this needs more work, or whether that's first done in the new business section and then you say, well, that actually works, can we do it tonight? Well, now it's a little bit out of order because we do resolutions first. I'm not against introducing topics, and if the committee feels it's not ready, then it gets postponed or not acted on to have further amendments to it. But I think, as Mark said, the challenge that I see is that only two of us can discuss any particular topic. And it's absolutely against the rules, for example, for me to go, I say, well, Mark and I are two, and then Tom and I are two, and then you and I are, it doesn't work that way. I could only talk with one person. So this is our chance to have a discussion on a topic.
which is why we get it out on Friday. People have had 5 days to think about it. Ideally, someone comes to the meeting and says, I would propose that we amend the third paragraph as follows, or we just slow ourselves down and say, I'm not comfortable with this yet. I'm going to think about it more. And then I don't know how that input, I guess the clerk collects input, and the following meeting it's modified.
Yeah. I think that the agenda procedure should be codified. However, I don't agree with this procedure, according to what I stated. And to answer the question is, I think everybody who wants to bring something, anybody in the township who wants to bring something in front of the committee, can bring it in front of the committee. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody should decide whether they can or cannot. If somebody comes in by Thursday and says, hey, I'd like to put this on for new business for discussion to the committee, no different than what you just said before, somebody coming in and has an issue and wants to bring it up to us. I mean, we have to deal with issues in this town. And I don't want to disallow anybody from putting something appropriately on the agenda for us to discuss. Not a resolution, I want to make it clear, but a discussion on a particular topic in new business that could lead potentially to a resolution or something that we might want to vote on at future meetings.
If I may respond to that.
Of course.
The question is, does... And this will tie into the discussion on the next resolution as well, in terms of, do we have a limitation of scope, or can anybody bring any topic in? Now, my question is, can they bring any topic in and require this committee to take a vote? Because we have public comment where they can discuss, any person can discuss anything in this forum. Everyone has a First Amendment right to voice their opinion, just like the five of us have a First Amendment right at different points to bring up topics and say, I think we should take this up or that up or whatever. The question is, do we take votes on every single topic?
No, but only if there is a particular, just like it says in here, if there's information where a vote may be necessary or a vote is requested, then it does come to us. Now, we can say, no, that's ridiculous. We're not going to vote on that. I mean, that's our prerogative. Or we might be able to put a clarification in here that certain things are only for to go into public comment. If somebody wants to make a comment, that's where it goes. If someone has a particular issue that requires a discussion and potentially a vote on something, then it should go into new business. But again, I just do not want to deny any citizen an opportunity to bring something up to us for evaluation.
I would not either.
Maybe it's, again, this comes to this discussion of deciding how we word this. My concern is also we allow whoever to come and have a discussion, say XYZ, and I'm just using generic terms, is on discussion. That's on discussion. We don't know what it means. They come to the meeting with all kinds of information handed out to us. Now we're forced to read it, understand it, absorb it.
It's Thursday before.
That's what I mean. So making sure that all the support document is there with
and
that's where I think then it's the clerk and the mayor, whoever the mayor happens to be, to say, you don't have enough support documentation. You're just saying you want to discuss XYZ. What is XYZ? That's the way I interpret that intent, is to make sure there's somebody making sure that the person is bringing all this information to all of us so we have time to absorb it and actually have a discussion, and instead of being kind of caught off guard with all this information. So somebody has to be that gatekeeper, as if terminology, to make sure that the agenda has all the items.
Yeah. No, I'm not with you on that.
Then how?
As I just said, if somebody has information, I don't care what little information, but provides, wants to put something on the docket for discussion now, then we have that information, and we can decide we do or do not want to discuss it at the meeting. You're going to have the information in front of you. You have 5 days to review it. If you think it's
but
not
if
appropriate.
We don't. My point is they come, they want to put this on the agenda. We put it on the agenda, but there's no support documentation. They come in the door, and hand us 20 pieces of paper.
We can't accept it at that point.
Yeah, we don't accept it.
They're on the agenda now for us to discuss.
But if it wasn't, if it wasn't there on Thursday, it's not on the agenda.
I think that's a procedural thing where the committee could look at each other and take a motion whether to take action to review this or table it like we do on other things to another meeting where we have more time to digest what the information is we get. I mean, if that's the way you want to go, I'm just saying how I could see that work. What Mark's saying, if someone came, we didn't have any information. All of a sudden, they come to the meeting, hand us a boatload of information. Sorry, we can't absorb this in this short period of time. We will review this and take it up at another time. That could happen.
That's why I'm just trying to eliminate those situations. Because I foresee that situation. They'll get their thing on their agenda. They'll show up and hand us a whole bunch of stuff, and now we're wasting our time. You know. So if we have a procedure that says if you don't have all this, it's not going on the agenda.
Yeah,
don't waste our time by just putting just a line item on our agenda.
If it's a line item, it's for discussion.
Right.
It's on new business, or what do we have it on?
Right. It would be under new business. Yeah. But my point is, if they come in and they call and they say, I want to discuss, you know, like I said, X, Y, Z on in new business, but don't provide any information as to what X, Y, Z is.
Then tell them they can put it in public comment at the end, and then we can go from there and decide.
Then they're not on the agenda.
No, they're on public comment. And that's okay.
So you're saying that somebody is the gatekeeper to determine what goes on the agenda.
No, no one's a gatekeeper. It's codified that if they don't have any information.
But somebody's making that decision. Somebody has to make that decision.
The resolution makes the decision.
There's a person behind the resolution that has to execute.
It could be Karen.
She's not responsible, and we shouldn't be putting her in that position.
Why? Doesn't she follow what we do as resolutions? Does she follow the procedures?
As she said, for sufficiency, but not necessarily for appropriateness.
I think we're talking, and again, I just want to be clear, we're talking about sort of two different things here, I think. My big concern in the conversations I've had with Karen going back several years, routine business of the government, we know what, you know, there's things that need to happen. We might need the QPA, we might need Jamie, we might need the chief, we might... And that we perform that, and we do make sure that it's ready. And quite frankly, I don't think we've ever given it a thought, at least I haven't, that if it is ready, that it shouldn't go on, even if it's not up against a hard deadline. But I think we're talking about different types of matters. So I just want to be clear that it's not going to what we're talking about is
we're talking about interfere, from the public.
Okay, isn't going to interfere with routine
public.
Business.
Yeah, I'm not
correct.
Talking about routine business. I'm not
right.
talking about things that
I'm
we see
the,
every
yeah,
year
public.
That
yeah.
we have to execute.
Every month, some of them.
There's nothing new, nothing that we have to really discuss and determine procedurally. It's changing. We're changing the course of the battleship here. You know, this is, you know, that's the whole point. Is like items that are brought to us that, you know.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't make my point. I apologize, Mark, but is that. In those matters, Karen and I know what sufficiency dictates. I don't know that it's fair to ask her one of these other types of, I don't even know what we want to call them, but public submission or unique items that she would be in a position, not let her speak for herself, but as to what would be or wouldn't be sufficient. Again, I just want to keep the path open for routine business.
I mean, example, which was following that our procedure of information was 2-3 years ago. One of the public member who's a beekeeper got on the agenda about beekeeping, gave us all kinds of information on beekeeping so we could absorb it. Then came here and did the presentation. You know, on the other side of it, if it was just saying, "Hey, well, I want to do a presentation on beekeeping," but didn't give anything. For us to kind of feel at least we have an understanding what's going on in the world when they're doing this discussion would put us at, you know, behind it. And so then they have public comment, so then they're sitting there, they're on the agenda, they can then make this whole spiel, and I think then we just sit there and, like, nod our head and don't make a decision because we didn't have that backup documentation. I think it makes us look poor in a sense that we're not prepared, but it's because the person in the public didn't prepare us. You know, so I think the process here is to ensure that
you know, it's also to protect us that we don't look here and just, like, look like bobbleheads, you know, that we actually have the information behind the discussion. Because they can still come here if they're on the agenda and have that discussion.
Well, yeah. I think where you're going at is there needs to be policy then that if a resident, someone from the public brings something they want to discuss by Thursday, there has to be pertinent information received by the clerk and mayor. Otherwise, it can't make that agenda. That can simply be done. The mayor then can say to the committee, the reason it's not on this agenda is we didn't have the information needed to have a viable discussion. I mean, that can be done by the mayor unless people object and the clerk. Not enough info, we're not putting on this agenda, get us the information, we'll get you on the agenda. You can always do it that way.
And that's all I think I'm asking. That, yeah, I think that's the intent of what this is.
I think we're all getting to the same point. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not saying it wouldn't get on there. But
Somebody has to be our, you know, and I hate to say that, use the term, but, you know, just reviewer to make sure it's completeness.
There you go.
You know,
completeness.
But then,
if I might.
Yes.
Please. Karen?
Typically, what would happen if we were to receive a call from a taxpayer who may have a concern that they want to bring before the committee, I receive a phone call. The procedure I would follow and I have followed for almost 20 years is I would say to them, please provide me with an email stating the concerns that you have or the issues that you're dealing with. If they have it to me, and I tell them when the deadline is for submission for the agenda to be added to the agenda. If they do not make the cutoff, then I tell them that they have to wait to the next meeting. I typically will ask for backup documentation. Sometimes it doesn't even require that. It's more of an issue that they're having that they verbally just want to come in and have a discussion with the committee. And most times the committee will have a conversation with them and then advise them what direction to go in or have them come to a follow-up, you know, follow-up meeting to bring additional information or documentation, direct to the zoning officer, direct to the county, whatever. So it's very rare that something will be placed on the agenda that the committee is not aware of ahead of time. However, if someone does contact me and say, well, I have something I want to bring to the committee, it's not even an agenda item, that's a public comment tool. If they want to call in or they want to come to a meeting and they want to address you at a meeting under public comment, of course you're not going to be able to take action on it. And sometimes maybe you may feel that you can, but that's what public comment's for. So it doesn't always play out as clearly as Mark may wish it to be, but we do the best we can.
No, and I do understand that. I'm more looking at the reason for this is more to put in writing kind of what you just said. We don't have it written procedurally. We don't have a process written. And I think this is also, at least I don't, I've never seen it, to kind of give, you know, you also something to go back to the public and saying this is how the committee wants it to follow. You know, and there are items that I know that we've sat here and that are on the agenda, and there's no real paperwork. It's a discussion. Hey, this happened to me, and I want to have this discussion. And we've had those scenarios, and that's understood. But there are scenarios like I said, like, you know, the beekeeping one, where there's a lot of information that goes into it, and there's other situations where we need some support documentation, and somebody has to also, you know, if this is, you know, and I don't want to put it just as clerk because then I don't want to put the pressure on Karen. You know, somebody has to be that person that we rely on, and as a committee, we voted to make a person mayor to make those decisions, as to be the chairman, to make sure that it's ready and complete for us to decide on. That's, you know, and that's the only reason why I think it says mayor is because that's the whole point of it. It needs one person. We can only have one, you know, unless you want to have, say, a mayor and deputy or deputy, you know, the two of them. I don't care if we want to expand it to multiple people, you know, if we even want to create a new person that's, you know, a gender review liaison, you know.
Deputy mayor would be
right, but then the mayor has two people. It's a mayor and...
Exactly. We can complicate it.
We can complicate it more if we have to, but I mean... I just think it's something written here to make it clear, not only for us and for the public, as to how things get on the agenda. That's, I think, the intent of it.
I don't know, listening to Karen, it seems straightforward. It doesn't seem like there's been any problems in the past. She's following a guideline that seems to be working, so I'm not sure what the problem is.
Really?
Really.
But you also said you think we should codify it.
I think we should.
So this is the first draft to codify it, and if the committee doesn't like this draft, we'll propose changes, and we'll work through this.
Right.
Nobody's arguing that we shouldn't codify something.
Right. I agree. Okay. But we got to be careful.
But I thought you just said Karen said it's going fine, so why are we doing anything?
What Karen is doing is really the codification of what we've been doing. Right?
This is my understanding of what Karen and I have been doing.
Except for that paragraph.
Which paragraph? That may be your own.
The paragraph, paragraph that describes the respect for appropriateness, legality, sufficiency, etc. And I would say, having been mayor now for 4 years, there are plenty of topics that have come to me to say, and I've said, the committee, for example, we have had a unwritten policy, and that's the next policy, that we haven't entertained matters outside the township's jurisdiction. So I'm making up an example. Somebody comes and says, Lebanon Township should endorse statehood for whatever island. We would say, I'm sorry, that's not something Lebanon Township is going to take. If you'd like to express an opinion, public comment is open. But, you know, we get draft resolutions. Please put this on your agenda. They're outside of a scope. What I'm trying to do is, because I can tell the committee would like to control and be more involved with the mayor's decisions, I need some ground rules as to what do we put on, what do we not put on. And that's why it's sufficiency. If somebody came in and wanted to, and this could easily happen, they provide us a resolution from a national group. Let's say they wanted a needle exchange for heroin in our memorial park. Now, we can ask the attorney. He could say under New Jersey law that's illegal, so why would we even consider it? That's an example of what I mean. Is it appropriate to even have that as a resolution before this body? But in public comment, someone can always come and say, I think this should be done. Thank you for your comment. So I believe there needs to be, we would benefit from having some check. And as others have said, if people don't agree with the mayor or the clerk, a vote of the committee, a majority vote of the committee, puts it on. That's all I'm trying to get. I'm only trying to make this more transparent, efficient for the committee, for the public. Is the only, and so any concrete proposal changes should be brought forward to the committee.
Okay. Is anybody else going to talk? Or? I'm monopolizing.
Well, we're talking now about the public. What about our agenda items as committee people? Because
we would follow the same.
I know. Well,
procedure.
You know, to be honest, I shouldn't feel like I have to take a Tums every time I want to put something on the agenda because I know it's going to be a fight, and it's nothing controversial. And for example, we did end up getting the marijuana thing on the fight on the agenda. But I was not going to do all that work to have you deny me a place on the agenda. So if I had come to you and said on Thursday, I want to talk about this, and had all that ready, and you said no, where would I be? And I just...
May I just tell me if I'm recounting this incorrectly, because I want the committee, the public to hear. You sent an email to the clerk asking to put the marijuana topic on the agenda.
Right.
The clerk forwarded that to me because we worked together on the agenda.
Right.
I came back to you, and my understanding was that I said, the attorney has informed us that he's working on a memo and will take this up in more detail the following meeting. He won't have, it's so new, we won't have that ready. Would you mind if we had that discussion on the following agenda?
Yeah, but I knew mine was going to be a completely different discussion than what you had, what he was working on.
And so you said... No, I would like it on this agenda.
Because it would be outdated by then.
And was it on the agenda?
Well, yeah, but I shouldn't have to fight. I shouldn't have to fight. I don't know if anybody else has to go through a fight.
And
it's not the only time. And then the thing is, I've had times, I can't remember what it was.
But we got none of that documentation packed up.
Of course not. Because I wasn't going to work on it until he said I could put it on the agenda. It was a lot of work. So in the meantime, I've had things where I've wanted things on the agenda, and you've said, I'm not going to put it on the agenda. You can talk under new business. And I talked to Karen, and I said, it's not transparent to the public when I'm going to talk about this, when he's telling me, go ahead and do it, but I'm not putting a line item on there. And I know you didn't want to put the gun rights thing on there. When,
that's absolutely true.
You know, so it's like, to me, I stopped asking for agenda items for a long time because of the pushback I was getting continuously.
So a codified agreement, for example, what I just recounted specifically mm-hmm. to marijuana, I didn't believe I was saying no. You took that as no, there's a misunderstanding. But if it's codified, then, mm-hmm. then
it's just
forward.
Always it's just always
with,
a hassle.
With the first discussion of the gun rights, we discussed that ahead of time. I understood that we had an agreement to discuss the policy first before the actual matter. Then you asked to have it on the agenda, and it went on the agenda. But there's always a little bit of subtlety in discussion to this that some people feel it's wrong, but I don't. It's
well, I find that the thing is, when I hear you saying somebody has to determine if it's egregious or if it's this or if it's that, if it fits your narrative, the narrative of some of your friends, it's very easily put on the agenda. Other things are not. So just be conscious of that, too, as the leader of this team.
I certainly try to be.
So how do we resolve it?
Again, there's a resolution on the table. There's no motion that's been
still,
made.
We still have discussion here. Yes. I need a clarification by Matt on old business. What is old business?
Things that have previously been before us.
So something that has been discussed prior, and if it's not on the agenda, can be brought up. And the reason I say this is the mayor himself has often said, after reviewing everything that's on the agenda, is there any other old business?
Right.
So that opens the door to move something in. So that's the clarification I need.
Absolutely right. Okay. And again, to the final paragraph as the draft is really a reiteration of that, which is if I wanted something on and it's not on, I'm going to bring it to the body. And the body says yes or says 2 weeks.
So if someone brings up old business to the body at a public meeting and it falls on deaf ears, it has to go back on the next agenda if it can get on, right? But if it falls on ears that want to listen, we can't listen?
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
And again, I know this doesn't...
Old business, to me, is business that has been discussed, the public should be aware of it, and it's discussed again. And it's been brought up multiple times. Is there any other old business?
Yes, I always said yes. Any
other
old business? Any other new business? What the evolution of what has happened, what I've now learned about Robert Bruce, if someone is coming in that and knows that they want to bring up old business or whatever, at the start of the meeting, they should say, this project has been going on, it's not on the agenda, I'd like to bring it up. At the start of the meeting, if you know you want to discuss it.
A member of this committee.
Any member of this committee, okay. That's what this is. But now going to the point that Matt brought up as well, if in conversation, if we're talking about paving the parking lot, and somebody says, we should pave the tennis court, if we should pave that at the same time, but we should go. That should be brought up and brought together as part of the discussion. I have no interest in limiting that discussion.
And Tom, just to address your question, the reason for the placement is so that at least anybody in attendance or anybody on the phone who would like to, quote, pre-comment in our first open session knows it's going to be discussed.
Correct.
But again, that doesn't mean we've spent a lot of hours in this room, and sometimes you don't know what's going to happen. And like Karen said, public comment, somebody comes up and says X, Y, and Z, and, you know, and we vote to call the town next door and tell them that their, you know, their trash trucks are blocking our whatever. We're not constrained from responding and reacting to the meeting as it occurs. Our primary task, our primary charge is when we're putting it out there that everything that's known is posted. And again, if in the gap.
I disagree with that.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is when it comes to old business, there's still an avenue for someone to bring something up. And if the committee decides they want to listen to it, it could be discussed.
Absolutely.
And motion could be taken.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The other thing I want to bring up is the Robert's Rules. I would say it's Robert-ish, not Robert's Rules. You don't follow it to a T. I'm going to have an argument then. I've read Robert's Rules. For the audience that listen, it's the 11th edition. The darndest thing occurred to me, though. It talks about unfinished business, and it has an asterisk. Drops me down and says, the expression old business should be avoided, since it may incorporate incorrectly suggest the further considerations of matters that have been finally disposed of. Do we have a flaw in our agenda? That's what I'd like to know.
If you're asking if something has been decided.
We're following Robert's Rules. I say Robert-ish. I wouldn't even bring this up, but if it's Robert's Rules, I'm bringing it up. And it states that old business can be misunderstood. And you just
if you're understanding it as old business as in finished and decided, then yes. But the way we've used the term old business are not items that have been resolved. Now, old business tonight, appointment
is
of the
unfinished
chief.
Unfinished business?
It's a better term.
That's what the book's saying.
It
so
is a
I'm
better
saying,
term.
Do we have a flaw in our agenda?
No, there's a better term for
okay.
old business.
Right. I'm really confused right now because I was just speaking with you about the ability to bring old business into the fold, and if the township committee wants to listen to it, my old business and possibly take action, although it's not on the agenda, is acceptable.
Yes.
Okay.
But you're talking you're referencing business already concluded as opposed to
business that the township has taken upon themselves.
But tonight we haven't old business, we have appointment of the police contract, a police chief. That's not finished business.
Okay.
I guess
so it's a combination.
I'm saying that the better term of art for what we do under old business is unfinished or
right.
continuing.
The only
business.
Reason I bring this up is I don't really feel that it's Robert Rules. It's a variation of Robert Rules if we're going to really follow it to the T. But that's an argument for another day. But that's just my feeling because I'm confused. Unfinished business, old business. Yes, you can bring it up, even though it's not on the agenda. The committee may want to. They could tell, I don't want to talk about it, Tom. Okay, it's done. No, I think that's an interesting thing. And we're going to make a motion on it. So, that's kind of a slope that we're in right here.
So would it be appropriate to remove the term old business from our agenda and put unfinished business?
I'm almost thinking that we should table this resolution and think about it a little bit more. Just my suggestion.
Is that a motion to table? Because that's ultimately we have to get to either a motion to table, a motion to adopt.
If anybody didn't interrupt you, if you want to continue with what you were saying.
No, I'll do a motion to table so we can think about it a little bit more.
Is that a motion to table?
Sure.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Would we like to consider the motion to change to unfinished business, or would we like to put that in
I'm
our consideration?
I'm going to defer that to the attorney.
Okay. We'll put that on with the
I'm
table.
Not a legal mind. I just do a little reading and might get myself into trouble.
Listen, okay. Listen, I'll tell you one thing about that, too. Like, as I'm thinking, as you're talking, when I gave my marijuana presentation, it was done. It was complete. Then the next week, the next meeting we had, 2 weeks later, I had updates. But because it was old business, I went in there and I said, well, I'll give you updates. Had it said unfinished business, I wouldn't have given updates.
No, it's still unfinished.
Well, it was,
it's
for
ongoing.
Me, it was the
yeah,
presentation.
It was, yeah,
but
and
the
it's
presentation
unfinished.
Was finished.
Your presentation was finished, but the it's issue...
Correct. And just to be clear, and I, Tom, I'm trying to address your
okay, please.
The, oh, is, and Abe's correct, best correct, is that something that we've done and put to bed and it's been decided and over would be is different than an ongoing discussion or things that require additional input or actual action. And so I would absolutely agree that unfinished or continuing business, or, you know, continuing business, unfinished business would be the more appropriate term in that section.
I think we can take that up when we look at this resolution again. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Okay. Next on the agenda is bringing back the discussion of Resolution 34-2021. And the reason I brought this back up is to get the committee guidance, going back to there have been a number of points of discussion of how is the mayor supposed to decide if it's sufficient, if it's going to be on. We've kind of gone both ways in discussion and practice. We heard the members of the public talk about this. The question is, are we going to limit township business to areas where we have jurisdiction using words of the court and the statutes being topics pertaining to the government of the township, clarified as issues with respect to which the governmental body has the power to take direct action. Do we want to limit agenda items to jurisdiction of the township, or in my example of taking a resolution on statehood for a certain island someplace, do we want to allow any topic that comes in to be put on the agenda, both by committee members and by members of the public? So if we voted yes to this resolution 34-2021, it would say that we're willing to entertain discussion of any topic that is of the public interest. And if it's the interest of one person, this committee will take it up. And to take it up will require, at a minimum, the resources of the people in this meeting, our clerk, our administrator, our attorney. It would require preparation by the clerk, review by the attorney, and the like. So that is why I wanted to get guidance back to this resolution 34-2021, because we've gone back and forth the past couple of meetings of whether we actually want to limit ourselves or whether we actually want to take opinions outside of the scope of the jurisdiction. So I think we've covered. I personally don't want to go into all of the rehashing all the discussion we've had in prior meetings. I'm looking to see, do we want to limit our agenda and our discussion, not our discussion, public comment? Any member of the committee can advocate any position they want. The question is, are we going to put those items to a vote by this committee?
This item failed at the last meeting. Yeah. Why is it back?
We never voted on it.
Well, it's in there.
It's in our minutes.
It's in our minutes. Failed.
It's in our minutes has failed, yes.
Yeah.
And no motion for the resolution fails.
Correct.
I mean, this should be 46-2021 if you wanted to reintroduce
you
it.
You can ask the clerk. I discussed that with the clerk. She felt we could bring it back.
I spoke to the clerk on that, and the reason is I didn't want there to be any confusion that this was different. And the clerk consulted with me on that. And again, for the purposes of transparency, this isn't different. It's not revised. It's not similar. It's the same one.
And it failed at the last meeting because there was no interest by the committee.
There was, right. It didn't receive a second, or was it even?
No, it didn't even receive a motion.
So why is it back?
Because subsequent events, the public has said then we would like to have, if we're going to discuss certain topics, then we want to be able to discuss any topic as the mayor who these things come to as the point person for this committee. I need a stronger position than to say, well, we talked about that and it failed, so I think that means we don't do it. And then someone would say, but you did do it there. And I'll say, but so I would like the committee to tell me, yes or no, are we taking up broad topics? Or can we take up only the topics for a vote of this committee where we have jurisdiction.
I think you're going to get into paralysis by analysis, because look what happened last time when Tom asked Matt, do we have some jurisdiction over guns here? And Matt said yes. So, again, you're going to then have to mince words with every little thing we want to talk about. And I feel like
I'm just asking for a yes or no vote.
This combined with that last resolution, to me, seems like another effort at control and strangling the narrative to what you want it to be. I'll be honest with you. So I find it interesting it came up right after Abe brought up that resolution on the gun rights. It could be anything. It could be anything. And suddenly this is on the agenda to just kind of take control over and make it look like we're spending taxpayer money on things that we shouldn't be. And
it doesn't say things that we shouldn't be.
There was no interest.
I would like to have a vote so that I am clear as to what I should put on the agenda or not put on the agenda. I'm not trying to reflect any personal interest here. I'm asking matters of public policy. I'm in the seat of the mayor this year. Would you like me to put it on or not put it on? And if the majority votes one way or the other way, that's how I will act. I'm not trying to...
Who wrote this thing?
I wrote most of it. I had legal consultation with it as well to make sure there's nothing illegal on it.
I think this opens up a can of worms needlessly.
I think there is a clear indication of how the committee felt about it the last meeting when no one made mention of it. It failed.
Yeah.
I think this is redundant and shouldn't even be here.
Then what's the harm of ratifying the position with a vote?
Negative.
May come in snake bite.
I mean, if somebody wants to vote on it, I mean, I can tell you I vote no.
I make a motion that we adopt Resolution 34-2021. If there's a second, then we can have a vote.
I hear crickets.
I hear crickets.
I hear birds.
I hear crickets.
It's that time of year.
It's the peepers.
That's why we got there's no. So it's failed again?
So it fails again?
Okay.
So then, I would make a motion that we vote no for 34.
What? It's failed.
I don't think we have
to vote. We don't have to vote.
Yeah.
Is it going to show up again at the next meeting?
Well, I think that's
don't make
Mark's
me take
point.
Another Tums.
Sheesh.
I don't want it to be like Groundhog Day.
I would appreciate, though, if we had a motion, rather than just say that it died, if there's a motion to say that this committee does not agree with Resolution 34-2021.
There was a motion.
Okay, so.
And whether it's stated in a positive or a negative, there's been a motion and there's no second.
So can I now interpret this to say that this committee will not entertain topics outside the jurisdiction of the township? There was no vote to approve.
I don't think that's what it says. No, because that says that you decide what's in the jurisdiction, and that's a intense legal issue that I don't want to get into.
And without getting into Abe's point, the non-passage or non-reject, the fact that it died on the vine, you can't extrapolate anything.
And that's why I was hoping we would have a vote, but in the absence of a vote, we will now accept any topic from any member of the public that has a public interest in a topic to have a vote by this committee, to have a discussion and a potential vote. They can die. We don't have to vote on everything.
Yeah,
but that's what I'm hearing.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the wish of the majority of the committee.
Too much control.
That's fine.
Yeah,
I don't know if there was any wish of anyone.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what this was interpreted or anything.
No, thank you. I appreciate it because I needed the clarification.
Holy mackerel.
Okay.
That takes us to old business, appointment of the police chief.
Unfinished business.
Mr. Lowell is the liaison to the police department. Mr. Lowell and Mr. McKee were the subcommittee for our police chief succession. And I turn it over to the two of you for introduction of the topic.
So we had four members of our police department interviewed for our police chief position. Every time we do this, I think all of us learn more about the police department and the functions of that they are, and how good of a department we have. You know, it's you know, and all four that came forward were tremendous officers, and I can probably say for all of us that we're thrilled to have them all. I would like to make a motion towards appointing our new police chief. And the person that I would like to appoint is our Sergeant Jason Kranz, just for some background for the public. He has been on our police department since 2004. He was promoted to sergeant last year. Before that, he worked for the Hunter County Corrections as an officer and also as a sheriff officer. And since we have a small police department in these interviews, there isn't any real major specialties. Everybody has to learn everything. So so the chief stepping in clearly has a clear understanding of all the functioning parts of our police department. I would like to make a motion to nominate Sergeant Jason Kranz to be the next police chief effective April 30th at 5:01 p.m.
Before I second, I'd like to thank Mark for all the work he's put into this. It was pretty much a sole operation by Mark, and I thank you very much for that, and I will second your motion.
Before we second the motion, could I just clarify it? I'm looking to the attorney as well. The committee has reviewed a contract of employment for the chief, which provides salary, benefits, all the other discussions. Can the motion, Attorney Lyons, include authorizing the mayor to sign that contract? We need that authorization. I mean, we're appointing him subject to this contract.
Yeah, if the committee. If the committee has reviewed it, sure.
So, including in that motion is to have the mayor sign it if we all agree with my nomination.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And congratulations to Sergeant Kranz. We look forward to seeing him at the first meeting in May for a
formal.
I don't know if that formal in the sense of a public ceremonial. That's what I'm ceremonial swearing in.
So you'll do April 30th at 5:00 and a half.
Or potentially just before that effective that time.
Yeah.
Okay, next item is the email upgrade contract. This is an example where getting our email system upgraded is of high priority. These developments in this have been happening every day, so the contract is in your the contract that we previously had is in your packet, but it wasn't known on Friday if it would be in our packet or not. So I turn it over to
I spoke to our IT consultant and everything. Now is going according to the way we want it, and we'll hopefully be able to have our lebtownship.net. This is very vital for the township because, as you know, the system that we have now, if you don't delete messages, you know, but this will upgrade us to the Microsoft license. And also, when that upgrades, we'll have, you know, the Office 365 and all that on our computers and stuff like that. So I would appreciate if the committee would allow us to move forward.
So the contract in front of us is with the company, a reseller of Microsoft 365 licenses called Liftoff. It is for 60 licenses at an annual cost of $2,880.
60 licenses being the amount of emails, email addresses.
Email licenses. Accounts.
Email accounts.
Accounts for everybody
account,
within
right.
the, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Now, this doesn't include the volunteers. This includes
this is
right
the first
now.
Step
the volunteers will be for a later date.
Well, this should include that many licenses.
Yeah, that's
volunteers. Well, it'll do some, but
not
well,
all.
Yeah, there's a hundred.
Yeah, okay.
There's over 100 volunteers.
That's what we had discussed. Is that we don't know how many are going to take it?
Right.
Want the email addresses? So instead of saying we're going to get a hundred.
Right.
So we should certainly offer it to the chairs of our statutory.
So to back up a second, when we first started talking about this, I had wanted to go the route of Lebanon Township would be in charge of it. But we can't do
ACH. Or
we can't do ACH. We can't do credit cards and things like that to pay as you put one on, take one off. You have to go through a third party because they essentially set up the account. So you buy a certain amount.
Right.
Okay.
So the intent is we're buying 60. We're pretty confident we're going to use 60.
Mm-hmm.
If we need more, we'll come back.
A month from now, 2 months from now, we need 10 more to add to this contract because 10 more volunteers than this came forward and said, I also want a Lebanon Township email address, as far as what we're offering.
Are they transferable, or are they going to be, for example, with volunteers, if volunteers leave and somebody new comes on, can somebody backfill?
Yes.
It's a generic enough name. My concern, the reason I flinched is because what I don't want to see is the option that volunteers say, no, I don't want it, but then they're corresponding on township business on their personal emails.
Well, they would be notified. That if they, yeah, there would be notification. If you don't take it, understand that you're subject to all the OPRA and all the requests like that as well.
Yeah, but Karen won't be able to search as easily. That puts more time on your
clerk.
Well,
you're right. That wouldn't be. It's not.
That's
not
what
easy,
one of the drivers was. I mean, I understand you have most of them. You know,
it'll be a sign off on it. Here's going to be address, and understand if you don't, you know, for every. I mean, that's what we talked, you know, in the unfinished business that you know we would have a form that they would fill out to say either yes or no. Yes, I want it, and this is what I want, or no, understanding that...
I don't remember that discussion. I remember it being that our volunteers were all going to have email addresses. That was when Brian was around, and we made that...
But we had said that there would be... They could opt out, but they're going to have to sign something to opt out.
Yeah, well, it's going to hurt the people that have to search OPRA requests.
Yes. You know, hopefully then they don't use it. You know, I mean, we have plenty of volunteers that don't use email at all. They don't need an address.
Well, it's going to improve our current standing, though. Yeah. I agree with you. Mm. But, you know, I would like to see it be all, but...
I'm hoping that they use that email...
More than it is now.
They will use that, you know. And I think if we find out, quite frankly, if, you know, and I think that's up to the chairman of each group, is if we find out that these people are using their personal email to then notify back to us to say, hey, they're using their personal, not using their 11 township, or... You know, I think that goes back to whoever the chairman of that group is to then say, hey, you really need to use this, you know, and an enforcement on that. But if they say, hey, I don't want email, I don't use email, you don't need to pay for one for me, okay, fine, then don't do it.
Right.
No. Are we being penny wise and pound foolish? I mean, you're getting 60 email addresses for $2,600? So it's 100 email addresses.
There's nothing that prevents us from coming back next week and say we need 40 more.
You can always add to it.
Okay.
Yeah. The whole point is that we don't know how many people are going to need it. So this starts us. This covers all employees. Okay. Covers some volunteers, and then we'll move. You know, we can add more to it. You know, as we go along. And this is a year.
Right.
This covers.
Are you going to inform people that a Lebanon Township email address is available if they so choose?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
First, we have to get in. We first have to have.
I understand.
I don't like it, but.
Well, if everybody comes back and we get 100 requests for emails, we come back at the next meeting and approve more. That's all.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, we have to have. You know, the whole point of it is to have everybody have an email. But if they don't want them, they don't use.
Yeah, we have to have a rationale.
I mean,
to increase
you were on the zoning and planning board. There was plenty of people that wanted it in paper, and Gail printed it out and emailed them anything. You know, so.
Well, I think the policy should be is if you have any intentions of putting something in writing to
correct.
Another person.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the land use boards certainly
you know,
do.
I mean, that's got to be in there because I could just so see the. Not
and
the,
I don't disagree with that in the least. Mm-hmm. You know, if somebody says, I don't do it, I don't use
right.
it, I'll never use it, you're wasting your money, okay, fine.
Right.
But again, going back to whoever the chairman of that standing or subcommittee is. And they see an email come in from them going, that's where the red flag going, hey, if you see that an email that comes in from somebody, then you have to bring it to our attention.
Right. That makes sense because you don't want to have somebody say no and then find out that somebody on a certain committee is still using their personal
absolutely.
Email to that. It's just you have to be consistent. And my mind is even flying with that. Like who's gonna be saying, hey, I have to do this, but the other one doesn't. And, you know, I'm more susceptible to something, and that one's not. Right. And
no, absolutely. I think that's, again, going back to what we said is the policy, but step one is to establish, one, that we are going to do it. Once we say, yes, we're going to do it, there's no point in creating a policy until we establish
right.
we're going to do it. So, but that's the intention of once we said, you know, once the committee approves or disapproves doing the email process, then coming up with the policy as far as signing off on it, saying, yes, I'm never going to do it, or yes, I want it, and going from there, and then, again, reaching back to the chairman, saying, these members of your committee have email addresses, these opted out. If you get correspondence from them, make them aware that they said they don't need it, they're going to have to get an email address, or stop all communication at that point via email, and say, oops, I'm sorry, I don't know, but I think it's a one, you know, we have to do at least, but, you know, hey, yeah, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, somebody got my email and I responded, I don't know, you know, but the intent will be that they will have a township email address.
I make a motion that we do the 60 emails.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And next is...
Huh? You done yet?
I'm done.
Update on cannabis regulations. So last meeting, Mr. Abakowski and myself were appointed as a subcommittee. We gave direction to the attorney, and everyone has been provided with a draft of what we understood was the committee direction put into ordinance form. There's one or two open questions we can get to in, later in the discussion, but at this point I think if we ask the attorney to guide us through what we have before us, the outcome from tonight is not any action on this, but to get a consensus from this group that it reflects our current position, and then to meet with the planning board, provide this to the planning board, have them review it, see if they have input, things we haven't thought about, and develop it for potential introduction.
How do you
after
feel
that.
About a joint meeting with them?
That's what I think we discussed.
I think that's the best thing to do.
And is that meeting May? Are they still on the agenda for May 4th?
I thought it was the 18th because they had a plan. Somebody's coming. No, what? This fruit stand out on 31. What was the date for that, Abe? Do you remember?
18th. May 18th.
I thought it was the 18th.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it the 18th? There were two. There was a backup, and I'm not sure if it was.
Let's see. Hold on.
For full disclosure, the planning board clerk had discussed a little bit our ordinance with our township planner, Jim Kyle. Mm-hmm. He contacted me to say, could he have a copy to review? He mentioned May 18th, but I didn't know if that canceled the May 4th. Normally it would be the first Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
So May 4th, so I didn't know if that was a special meeting or not. If May 18th was a special meeting, but he did mention that had to come back May 18th.
Yeah, it's on my, some I deficiency. Have it at home on my planning board documents. I didn't put it on the wall calendar yet, so.
And by the way, let's wait 1 minute for Mark to come back.
I forgot he was even gone. Let Matt also give the update. We didn't want to send, he answered my question yesterday, but he didn't want us to send it all around because it's kind of like
it violates the open public meeting.
So don't let him forget to tell us.
So for Mark's benefit,
that was quick.
The township planner, Jim Kyle, reached out to ask if he could just take a look at this. He sent an email back to us saying that he had no.
He thought it looked good.
It looked good. I didn't want to overstate. He certainly had no issues, and I believe he said it looked good. So with that, we'll ask the attorney to summarize the draft ordinance that we have before us, and then we'll ask the committee for any reaction.
Yeah, let me just preface it by saying the subcommittee, we went back and forth on numerous topics. The law's obviously in its infancy, but it's a race. Everybody's trying to get their position codified as the act requires by August. And as we discussed before, it involves it's a planning activity, so it involves cooperation back and forth with the planning board. So the sooner the better we get moving forward. Committeewoman Kohler did ask me a question, also for everybody's, she's aware. But if we were to take action to prohibit uses, any of the six classes, we can undo that. We can change our mind at some point down the line. The only thing you can't undo is when you allow it. When you allow it for a five-year period, you're locked in. You're open for business. I do note that some of the industry people in our ongoing workshops and seminars are expressing, yeah, but if you block us out for that first year, you may not see us ever again because the business is going to find its level, whether it's next door or around the corner. Just a consideration, no opinion on that. But again, the other thing for consideration also is the tax issue. The local tax issue is one of the few vehicles for a local tax outside the property tax, and it's a maximum of 2% on all uses except wholesale and delivery. Delivery is 0, wholesale is 1, the others are all 2. The logic behind that is that it's all, in most of those situations, wholesale and delivery, it's already been taxed at some point, or in many cases, several points in the equation. So we have discussed, and begun to draft to allow all six of the classes. And again, for a quick review, cultivation, manufacture, wholesale, distributor, retail, and delivery. Again, through conversation with the community, the legal community, municipal legal community, as well as planning professionals, that a lot of the first four categories are interrelated, and the class five and six are the storefront, so to speak, the storefront and the delivery. So we, as we stand now, the conditions would, or our regulation would allow all six uses, and both the members of the subcommittee gave detailed specifics as to how they would like to regulate that and where it would be permitted. So the law allows us, again, not only to prohibit but also to regulate, and we can regulate time, place, and manner. We can even regulate the amount of uses in each category. But this is taking affirmative action to allow these uses. If we take no action at all, they would be permitted, and it would be governed really by state law as to where each use would be permitted, and we would lose our right for local regulation if we took no action. So that's the intent of taking action as opposed to taking no action or banning.
Just one, not to stop you in the middle, but I have to. I'll forget. If after 5 years we decide we wanted to stop this and there are businesses here, I think there was something in there, it's almost like a grandfather clause. Is that law now that you can't tell people, okay, 5 years later you've set up your business, we're not doing it in town anymore?
I'm going to have to review that. I want to be certain on that.
Because it's in here. Yeah. It sounds like it's in here, yeah. And that's why I wasn't
but,
sure.
But that's a valid point, obviously. Obviously, some equity considerations as to the people that invest all that time and money in getting started.
So do we want for the public to tell them what we're allowing in which, you know, confining to specific zones and whether it's conditional or permitted?
I'd prefer that's where we leave policy. We get into to really authorship, so to speak.
Would you like to recap that, Abe? Would you like me to?
I think that is in two or three.
Yeah.
Oh, we got two threes. Three, and the last three should be a four. It looks like 3A. Okay. No entity shall operate a business requiring a Class 1 cannabis license as defined in the Act unless it has a minimum acreage, and this is one area that's up for discussion. Should we provide a minimum acreage for operating a cultivation business? And that's up for discussion. Otherwise, business operating under a Class 1 license shall be permitted as a conditional use in all districts. So even after we make a minimal lot size or minimal acreage for cultivation, it's still a conditional use.
And just to be clear with your experience, conditional use means the zoning officer can't sign off
until the Board of Adjustment
reviews. It has to come to the Board of Adjustment to review. So every
yeah, there would be a case-by-case review.
Case-by-case, the Board of Adjustment will look at the layout, the situation, and decide.
And we have to make some conditions vis-a-vis that, and I think those are listed in here as well. I don't want to get into them right now, but they're...
number two seems to be...
Yeah, number two is conditions for specific conditional uses. But let me finish up with the classes. A business requiring a Class 2, 3, 4, or 6 cannabis license is defined in the Act shall be permitted as a conditional use in the Township Industrial District. Such a business is prohibited in all other districts of the Township. A business requiring, and that 2, 3, and 4 is wholesale, manufacturing, let me get the other one, wholesale, manufacture, wholesale, and distribution. and delivery. They are in Township Industrial District and prohibited in all other districts in the township. Now, a business requiring a Class 5 cannabis license, as defined in the Act, shall be permitted as a conditional use in the Township Highway Business District, which is the B2 district, but such business shall not be located within 1,000 feet. And by the way, that 1,000 feet is also a question. We took that out of the sex, right?
Sexually oriented
yeah,
business.
Oriented thing.
By reference, yeah.
So, you know, that's a question. That we wanted 1,000 feet, that we wanted 1/4 mile. You know, I'm not saying one or the other. I'm just saying that's something that could be up for discussion. 1,000 feet of any existing cannabis licensed business or any church, synagogue, temple, or other place of public worship or any elementary or secondary school, or any school bus stop, or any municipal or county playground or place of public resort or recreation. Such a business is prohibited in all other districts of the township. We haven't done a map that says if we eliminate all these things, where can you actually...
What the end result is, yeah.
The bus stop one is the only one that I think would almost eliminate every single one because of the way our town works. And quite frankly, you could have a home over... a dispenser, like, because that's what a 5 is, like the dispenser.
It's the retailer limited to Highway 31, our business district.
Yeah, it's a B2.
Right. But where there's, I know where there's business, there's homes in that same location, it would be potentially eliminated. You know, so if the intent is to eliminate, it will.
I don't know if that's the intent. It may be the result.
It may be the practical result.
Yeah,
right. But, I mean,
but it's not the intent.
Because I think 1,000 feet and the way our school buses work, it would essentially do that.
And 2 points on that, I'm sorry, Abe, is one, we need to be able to supply those locations, which obviously change from time to time. But the other thing, just to be clear, I know we're not proposing it, but even if we were to ban delivery, even if we were to regulate it basically out of existence, is state law doesn't allow us to ban delivery from other municipalities in two homes in our town.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be
they're
going to
get it
no
anyway.
Matter what.
Yeah, they're going to get it anyway.
You know, no matter what. So kind of a corollary to that, if this can be mapped, and if we eliminate it completely as a consequence of this, maybe this can be changed so that we look at the map and say, here's a place where it could potentially go, where it'll have the least amount of effect. And that could be then codified in the ordinance, that this is where it can go.
I believe the planner can do that mapping, and I think that's why he asked for it. But in the joint meeting with the planning board, we should follow up and get more specific to see if the 1,000 feet works or doesn't work.
And a business requiring a Class 5 cannabis license is defined in the Act may operate in the same location as a business requiring a Class 6 cannabis license. So this is a retailer can operate in a delivery place so long as both the Class 5 and the Class 6 license holder separately obtains all required state permits. Now, does that mean that the Class 5, if they operate both the Class 5 and Class 6, they can go either in the industrial district or the business district? And
that,
both.
I mean, that's a good question. And what is the intent?
Right.
I understood the intent was that a Class 6 could be with a Class 5 in the B2, but the Class 5 could not be in the industrial. What we had discussed in the previous meeting. If you're a retailer, Class 5 retailer, you can only be in our B2 district. And if you happen to then also set up a delivery service out of your retail operation... I'm not saying this wording is correct. I
mean, no.
That's the end result. That's the end. That's the intent.
Right.
So we can address that.
So if a local, say like a local restaurant decided to go out of the restaurant business and wanted to go into the consumption lounge business, and they're on 513, for example.
Consumption is another question that I...
Yeah.
Well, it's a retailer, though. It's kind of they're selling it to
the... But I believe the Act regulates consumption areas separately from, like, a liquor store where you can't we discussed that a little bit. The broad C.
You have that discretion.
So you can, like, it doesn't have to be on Route 31 and the B2.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I was addressing the other part, which is you can have or not have the consumption areas. But
even if you have a consumption area where you're selling and consuming in the same location, that's a Class 5.
Right.
With that's a consumption area.
That's correct. That's what I read this,
so
right?
It's only it's only in the B2.
So it would have to be out there like...
On 31.
On 31.
Yeah, like the social.
So the Class 5 and Class 6 can only be in a B2. Mm. That's what this says. And I agree with it. I'm just saying. That's what it says. Just
that's what it should say, and I think you just need him to double-check that it...
I think we can wordsmith it so that it's not... It's more
because the overriding statement in G is that it's a Class 5, and a Class 5, if you go up to C, is in a B2.
Right.
So therefore, you can add the Class 6 to a Class 5 in a B2.
That's the intent,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. And that is that's basically the intent of the ordinance. There's a lot of other stuff here, again from a planning perspective that defines conditional use, but I think we can leave that to the planning board to add or subtract from there.
Mm-hmm. Unless anyone has something that they'd clarify before it goes to the planning board, but it's not final till we get input from the planning board.
I just had a couple of questions I wrote down. So you've got that when you look down there, there's the need to adopt health, safety, welfare regulations to avoid the things that are mentioned above that, some of the bad things that can happen in town.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be a bunch of separate ordinance? How are we going to...
Where are you?
If you go to page two.
Okay.
You go down to whereas there is a need to adopt health, safety, and welfare regulations to avoid adverse impacts on the community, which are above in the above paragraph. Is that handled via separate ordinances?
No. What that is a preface to the reason for our regulation. So it's really just the basis of what Abe just set forth, which is there's concerns. This isn't an ice cream store.
Right.
So the reason we're going to regulate time, place, distance, how far from this and that is because of these potential adverse effects. We're giving ourselves the predicate to then enact. I guess what I'm saying is what Abe just laid out addresses those concerns by placing these establishments in particular zones with particular setbacks, and also preserves the conditional use process so that they're taken on a case-by-case basis by our land use boards.
I get it. Yeah, it's kind of legal language. It's just I misinterpreted it.
You can look at 2A, for example, under 400-9 or 400-11, 2A.
Well, cannabis business shall be designed to operate. And that goes to my second question. Shall be operated to minimize noise and odors and maximize security and sanitation. And then I think about how sometimes things are unenforceable because we don't have an ordinance for our zoning officer to go out and say, what's the level of noise? What's the odor? What can that person do?
Well, I think as addressed in the conditional use process, and I'm going into hypotheticals, is I'm going to open a consumption area, and the board's going to say, well, what is your odor mitigation plan? And they'll be like, what do you mean? Well, trust me, they'll know it. There's a whole industry of monitoring, of purifying that air so that the neighboring retail establishments aren't affected, and that's something that we're going to give the planning board the ability to do because we mentioned that. Again, because we are regulating it, we're discussing why we're regulating it. We're giving guidance to the planning board as to what they're reviewing in their conditional use application, their application for conditional use.
Okay. And then the other thing I was thinking about is I think we just talked about the cannabis consumption. The acreage, is there anything out there like from Colorado or any of these places that have had it for a while? Like, are there a certain amount of acreage you need for a certain amount of plants and in order to be a wholesaler, you have to have a significant amount of plants. It can't just be...
Well, as a cultivator, the wholesaler is not growing the plants.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what I mean, the cultivator, so, yeah.
So I agree. That's something that's been tossing around in my head as well, the acreage. And the question I have is, on a cannabis Class 1 license, the way I see it is there's going to be enormous 200,000 square foot facilities,
yeah,
and so many licenses passed out, it'll drop down to the next size, and then there's a very, I think, two licenses, if I don't know, that are small, that might be only 3,000 square feet of facility or 5,000 square feet of facility. So I think that it would help if we knew what the criteria are for that Class 1 cannabis license.
Well, just for your, I mean, to kind of answer, if you can picture it, is the Walmart, the old Lane Co. on 22, they utilize those old greenhouses to grow.
Right.
To support the rest of that facility for for manufacturing and
that's all in-house, right?
All in-house, yeah, under one roof.
So
they really, the acreage isn't really as much for the growing, it's what clearances are we looking at from neighbors is really what I think. That's really what's going
to correct. So that comes to my head. The right to farm. Again, I bring it back up. You know, 5 acres is a farm. 1 acre for the house. Where does that fall into this acreage thing? And are we denying someone if we make it too big of an area?
You know, or are we? I don't think that marijuana is the intent. I believe is not to grow this stuff. Outside.
No, right. No, I understand that.
So that's what I wanted to bring up. Yeah. My understanding is that the typical business model is now a 70,000 square foot building,
yeah,
which is about 230 feet by 230 feet.
Okay.
So as I've been visualizing this over the past week, because we don't want to industrialize our farmland, a 3-acre piece of property with a 70,000 square foot building.
Well,
you're overshadowing.
It's just
stormwater highlands. How are they going to put it in?
The impervious cover. I was leaning toward a 10-acre. When I'm visualizing, I see a 10-acre property with a 230 by 230, and I don't know if that's a restriction in the regulation, but it would still take Board of Adjustment approval. And if you said you could put that building in the middle of 10 acres, I don't think you're unduly impacting your neighbors. Would be my first opinion, subject to going to the planning board.
And I think one of the things you're talking, I mean, the retail micro license is 2,500 square feet maximum, 10 employees maximum. So that's the retail micro. I know I had to confirm what the farm micro, because the home grow or the small grow hasn't passed yet. I'm not going to say there's not a micro grow, because I think there is, but I'm not exactly sure. But the problem is, again, is getting through the permitting process and the cost and the delay involved, but you're right. If it's a right to farm issue, whether it, you know, even if it's indoors, the right to farm allows certain activities to because it's a crop.
That's right.
So it is a crop. Mm-hmm. The state of New Jersey Agriculture Board says it's a crop. Whether or not the feds agree is a different story, but so that if as your right to farm, you need to put up the structure, you're going to have those right to farm rights.
But they're still going to pay stormwater fees.
The
stormwater fees are going to be for a, especially not for a micro one, as much as that other one.
And they'll put it back into the.
You're not going to be able to do it on a small lot as a matter of course. You're just not going. The maps are looking
to
work.
What about waterways? We can't even put a darn swing set. They're saying there's some of these waterways.
Could I clarify again how this works? And it goes a little bit to the 1,000 foot, and now a little bit if we say 10 acres. If there is a possibility of an exotic micro growing, and you can do it in a 50 by 50 foot building, someone could always come to the Board of Adjustment and say, "Look, I'm not putting up 70,000 square feet on 3 acres. Would you give me a variance and let me put this on this property?" Is that
a use variance?
Or if somebody says, I'm opening my store, the school bus, yes, it's within 900 feet, not 1,000 feet, but it's across the road, and the Board of Adjustment could always view and say, we'll give a variance on that requirement.
Sure.
We're putting kind of broad guardrails up, if my understanding
is correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
What about any near any rehab facilities? I think, don't we have some in town?
What?
Rehab facilities, drug rehab.
We used to. That was the sanatorium, but I don't think they're
using it
anymore.
You might be thinking Freedom House and Freedom House, as well. But,
yeah.
But they're, I don't think they're anywhere close to our...
Yeah, I can't
remember. They're not, certainly not B2, and I don't even know that there are industrial zones close enough.
The industrial is down Trimmer, and the only other one is the quarry.
Yeah, exactly. One other topic. We touched a little bit on the consumption areas. Under 2F is where we actually spell out some of the consumption areas, and what our discussion was... Given our rural township and given, you know, for example, we've got a couple of wedding site venues, we don't want to have someone have the ability, or I should phrase it as a question. I personally don't think we should have a situation where we have like a mini Woodstock camp where they have a consumption license, bring your own, and you know, every weekend we have mini Woodstock. So what this is drafted to say is if you're going to have a consumption area, it's got to be an indoor structurally enclosed area of the cannabis retailer, and then number two, or an exterior structure on the same premises as the retailer, either separate from or connected to the retailer. So what and Matt, tell me if I'm mischaracterizing, but my understanding is what this draft says is we're not banning consumption areas, but it has to be associated with a retailer, which forces it into the B2 district. So if somebody has enough space down on B2 and
can get
all the licenses...
And quite frankly, that's by law, by operational law. The state's not going to permit a consumption area that's not connected to a retail or a delivery service. So, yes.
So that's how we're dealing in this...
I'm sorry, I was looking at Tom's question. Believe it or not, the micro farm is also 2,500 square feet, but it allows the plants to grow up to a vertical height of 24 feet.
Wow.
I didn't
even
know. I guess that's a lot of, I would assume that's a lot
of
marijuana.
That's a big plant.
Yeah, with vertical growing, like farming, that's a big, like an up-and-coming thing, vertical growth.
So, I mean, but that's a small building.
With a
high roof line, so I mean,
probably a three-story.
It's feasible.
I think there's only a couple of licenses for that. You know, they limit the amount of those licenses.
And that plant's not that big; it's stacked.
Huh?
Matt,
I think you're picturing.
I'm thinking of a 24-foot plant.
Beanstalk.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not. They're not talking about the plant.
Oh, it's that kind of farming.
Oh,
I got
okay.
It.
They
rolled back a lot of those limits though after objection on the micros, because the micros are designed. Required to be someone who lives in town
right.
or lives in a neighboring town. So, and they had limited them pretty severely.
Yeah,
and then, because of the pushback, they said, you know what, we're gonna because they're the micro businesses, we're gonna back away from that. Because there was a whole appeal process with the 2019 RFA, but where they said that certain communities were targeted and they weren't allowed to get. But so that's why this is lifted. However, you still have to go through the process, and you
right.
still have to obtain the license. But theoretically, with 24 feet of height, I guess there's money to be made.
You don't have to live in town then, or live in a neighboring town anymore, is what you're saying.
No, you do. On a micro, for a micro license, yeah.
Okay. We have a height ordinance for roof height.
35 feet.
What is it, 35
feet? Farm structures, though?
Yeah, but you're going to have a right to farm issue.
I was thinking
there.
About that.
Yeah,
well, that's
I mean, how
be
would you
issue.
Want to be next to that?
Yeah.
You know, like in your...
Or it's going to... come up, I would think.
And
the
they
possibilities
limit,
there. Let's put it that way. The
well, what it, I'll read further. It's because I found the section you referenced. Cultivation in the micro business cannot process more than 1,000 pounds each month. It sounds like a lot of product.
Out of a micro?
Yeah. Including the micro retail.
Holy smokes. I don't want to say holy smokes.
That's a lot. That's a lot of product.
Yeah, it is.
That's a lot of product.
Do you know, is there any, I'm sure we can find all this stuff, statistics, how many plants it takes to make 1,000 pounds?
I don't know anything about that.
Trick question.
I don't. I really don't. That's what I said. Because I said 1,000 pounds. How many customers Would you have, I mean, obviously, you'd need 1,000 customers in a month to buy a pound each. Well, but isn't a pound like a...
Well, I assume this is still when it's wet pre... I don't know, but...
No, no, it's dried.
It's dried at the cultivator.
Yeah, the cultivator. The smells come from, not from the actual grower, it comes from the manufacturer.
Yeah.
When they're drying it.
But that's my point. Class 2 is a manufacturer. Class 1 is a cultivator.
Yeah,
cultivator, the cultivator gets to...
not smells.
So that's my point.
It's from the actual manufacturer.
The process. And you just said the 1,000 pounds was for a cultivator.
Yeah, so that would be so wet at that point.
That's my point. It's wet.
It's both. No, the 1,000 pounds cultivator... 1,000 pounds of cannabis in dried form each month.
Okay.
It specifies dried form.
Wow.
And
so they're hanging it.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's 100,000 patients. They have to take care of them before they can even do the recreational. I'm sure that that's plenty of people.
Yeah, they have to certify that there's enough supply for all people with prescription before they can then...
Plus sufficient supply to start servicing the recreational market. So you've got a double. They have to certify double... Double whammy.
Matt, could you review if there's ability to review the licensing, especially with the cultivation, what the different criterias are? Mike's talking like the mid-range is like 70,000 square feet. I've heard there's going to be law.
Well, they'll be bigger, no doubt.
You know, I don't know if you could do that. I mean...
I can. I don't know if I can do it comprehensively tonight. There are some... seeking, I know there's some, you know, seeking license in excess of 200,000 square feet for cultivation, you know. So
I'm sure a lot of these empty malls.
Yeah, it's a lot of these empty industrial, you know, dinosaur.
Convert them, yeah.
Yeah, dinosaur buildings on state highways or tucked away off of behind on ramps and stuff.
Yeah.
They're going. Left and right.
Yeah.
Now, what about that brings up the lighting? Because I know even one of my neighbors on McKenzie, there's the warehouse that's over there that I think it's abandoned now. They were doing the koi pond or some fish.
Oh, yeah, them.
Lights were glowing from it all night long, and that wasn't really that big of a greenhouse. I don't know how this all works with marijuana and the lighting situation, and if you're up three stories...
No, they'll be windowless.
Yeah, there's no window.
Okay,
for security purposes,
but
they're not putting...
No window.
That's true, too. Well, so you're not going to have those white see-through-ish...
No,
there's no... It's all... It's like a butler building.
Yeah.
You know, it's
okay,
like
so
a
it will
a
never
warehouse.
Be one of those... Because I saw that thing in Gloucester County. I said it right this time. Where they
close.
They went, where they went, and they were going to use the greenhouse, and they were doing flowers in there, and they said, well, no, this is a different type of flower. They didn't want to give them the license. They took them to court. They got the license for marijuana. I'm assuming that was a horticultural greenhouse.
Correct.
So they are doing it.
Well, what that was is that's a very lawyerly way to. You not require a review where the zoning officer, it's not a change in use. That's
flowering plant.
Yeah, and so the next week you come in and pull a permit to change one wall. The week after, wall number two, number three, number four. And, you know, you basically build a new building without having gotten through that land use process. It's a shortcut.
So eventually then the horticultural greenhouse goes away.
Correct.
Okay.
With LED lights nowadays, it's so efficient to run lighting.
I will say that there is a lighting requirement by the state. Like when you get, you know, there's a minimum outdoor lighting for security reasons.
Oh.
So there is, I know that's not what you were talking about,
no,
but there
that's
is
good to know.
There is an outdoor lighting requirement that the state mandates. When the product is on the field.
Actually, we need to look at that for the lighting ordinance.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. That's
why
I wrote it down. Yeah,
because that has to be. We can't do something that goes against that lighting ordinance of the state.
It's good that we're looking at all that right now.
Yeah,
a lot going on.
Yeah.
So I think the question for us tonight is: do we want to make any modifications of this before it goes to the planning board for our joint meeting? Do we want to fill in a minimum acreage for? In 3A for cultivator lot size, or do we want to leave it open until?
If we do, would Kyle then be able to give us kind of that meeting of ejected?
I think that's
if we make it blank, then he won't come with anything. If we arbitrarily pick 10 acres at least then he could come with some place that we would say there's plenty or there's none.
That's a good point.
I mean, that's my only thought, is then at least it comes with some kind of direction ahead of time.
So the state isn't, when they put the licenses together for people, aren't going to dictate, if you get this license, you need to have a 70,000 square foot greenhouse and make so many plants a year.
I could be wrong.
And that's what I'm wondering.
I thought,
like,
it was going to be specific to the size.
There are categories. There are categories. Okay. Yeah, there are categories. But I think that it's been reduced down to three, and it's really just a cost. One of the arguments is that the industry can't be so expensive to enter that communities all over the state can't break into the business. So that's why these secondary licenses were created. There's a pretty big knowledge that all these giant cultivation licenses with 300,000 square feet are going to go to established cannabis companies that are in operation that are national or international.
They're starting to sell international
It's big business. So, yes, I believe there's one in between the micro and the basically unlimited. I'll have to get the...
Because that would help. Because just to put an arbitrary number, and I don't want to see him waste his money, Kyle, waste our money, township money.
But again, I mean, we know the small end. We know the smallest you're going to be able to do with a 2,500 square foot building and grow in there.
And actually, to that point, we have another meeting before a joint planning board meeting, so we could...
Yeah.
We could come back on the 21st.
My question to that is that if we have our joint meeting, would it be worth us saying, to, you know, looking at that, Kyle, can you give us what potentially an overlay would be for 5 acres and an overlay would be for 10 acres? Like, how hard would – I don't know how hard it is for him to make that determination.
That's what they do. Yeah,
right.
So,
I mean,
not hard. What it costs is a different question, but it's not hard.
Well, that's the thing.
But it's only going to be in two zones. Yeah, it's only going to be in the B2 and then the industrial.
For the cultivators,
it's everywhere.
Oh, the cultivators. Yeah, cultivators everywhere.
That's right.
Do we?
But I do think it's worth next meeting finding out what the size of these are and deciding if 5 acres, 10 acres, 20 acres.
All right. You know, the commission hasn't been seated yet.
They just haven't started.
No, they've been named, but not seated. I had to.
It's different. They haven't been sworn in.
Well, here's why. The reason why is the clock for them to enact the regulations starts to run the day they're seated. So they're not even on the clock yet.
You know they swapped one out, right?
Yes.
And you knew why.
Yes, I saw that.
Talking about the planning board, they're chomping at the bit to get information. I mean, the sooner we can give them this draft. They wanted us to, could we do anything last night when we were there and talk to them about it? And I didn't want to get into it. I had it in front of me, but I didn't tell them. But it's a...
But then if you think we should get it to them after tonight, I'm...
I would.
I'm there's no reason
I would
not
too.
To.
Yeah, get it there.
We've considered it. I mean, unless there's going to be massive rewrites.
No. I would agree.
I'd rather them have it before we sit down.
Yeah.
A broad consensus here. I don't mean detailed consensus, but that we're not sending them something that we're then going to... You know, say no. That's not what we meant. I, the more time they have it, the better.
Yeah, free form comments, and we'll just, you know, we can take it from there.
Yep.
And then have a joint meeting. Everybody will know what page we're on with this. They could listen to the tape from this meeting and know what we were talking about.
So I would propose then we put in 10 acres to give them at least something to say no more, less.
I agree.
I don't think there's any right. I mean, until we can finesse it and find out
anyway. Is there any way we can get some of these applications to see what they say and what they're asking?
I don't know. I don't know that there's – I don't believe there's an accepting entity right now. I know that there are applications that are ready to go, but, again, they're dancing around delaying the inevitable.
The thing that kills me is that I was telling them last night, there's five of these people. They bumped off one guy because they had to. I'm not going to get into it here. Put him, though. He didn't go away. He went somewhere else. All of these people are making at least $121,000 a year. The head is making, she's going to be making up to $141,000, they say up to. But it's like $600,000 in salaries just for this cannabis council. To direct everything, though. They're going to be calling all the shots.
So if we're agreed on the text, I think what we need, and I'm Karen, I'm addressing this to you and to Matt, a motion to schedule a joint planning board meeting, and can we make that the next available planning board, which we believe is either May 4th or May 18th? Or should we schedule for both and then cancel whichever one doesn't happen?
My personal opinion is that we should be able to give this to them with 10 acres, and I'm also thinking that they should have one of their meetings themselves.
But if they only have one, I wouldn't take action to merge their meeting without talking to them.
And then we'll be there. Abe and I will be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, I'm across town on Tuesdays, so I'm not available. Not that you need me.
But that is the night there. Mm. But that potentially pushes us into June when we have the. Typically, they meet once a month.
Yeah, but why don't we have a special meeting? I agree. Let's ask for a special meeting on the 18th.
Okay.
We don't want to keep delaying this.
That's my point.
Because we've got August 22nd.
Exactly. That's my point.
So how about let them have their meeting on the 4th, regular meeting. And then on the 18th, we have a combined meeting, a special meeting for this.
Although I'm pretty sure they haven't had an application. Unless that's the day for the application for the.
Oh, crap.
Do they meet at 7?
I'm trying to think of whose phone number I have that I could text them right now.
Meet at 6.
Yeah, we can meet at 6.
I mean, that's a long night, but it really.
I do believe the meeting on the 18th is the application.
That's what I thought. And they had a backup date, too. But it wasn't in June. I didn't. Maybe it was June 4th. I don't know. But yeah, so
and the
25th. You can also request maybe you can schedule a special meeting outside of their regularly scheduled meeting,
or earlier.
And they come to one of ours.
Yeah, because I mean, if we're going to go outside of their regular meetings, then we're going to have to consult with them, and then we can put it on the agenda for the 21st.
Right. I just think because they should have a meeting of themselves to discuss it, and then and let them absorb it, and then come back
sense.
As a joint. I don't think we should land on them and ask them to make decisions.
The other problem we have is the room size with this COVID thing with all of us in there. There's a lot of them. But what is our capacity in here now? Have they
35% of the number on the wall right there.
Well, legislative function is that's clearly government legislation function would be. We wouldn't have to worry about that. Unfortunately, we somehow would still be required to social distance, so it's kind of the same.
There's a lot of them.
We could just bring tables in and scatter them around the whole room, make a big square.
Yeah. I mean, they all had masks on last night.
Yeah.
Do you know if you're having a meet? The planning board meets on May 4th? Because, again, if they're going to have a meeting to discuss this, can they have that meeting on May 4th?
Say it again. You mean if they're going to discuss this during their May 4th meeting?
What Mark is proposing that we give the planning board a meeting to discuss it before as the committee.
That would be the May 4th meeting for them to discuss
if
this.
If they're having the May 4th meeting. Okay.
That's a question.
That's my question.
I don't remember whether they're having the May 4th meeting or did they move it to the 18th. Or was that a special meeting specifically for this application because he wasn't ready. Remember, he wanted to delay it.
Let me see. Maria was there. She might have written this all day.
Yeah. You think that's an all-night meeting, that 18th, that application? That's a big one?
It could be. It's been ongoing since 1988. Yeah.
Actually, Karen.
It's like the garage floor. It's like the garage floor all over again.
I know.
Karen, if we at our April 21st meeting wanted to schedule a special meeting, could that be done as quickly as May 4th?
Yes, that could be done.
Okay, so let's come back. Let's get information from the planning board, what their exact schedule is.
Okay.
We can agree on a separate date for a joint meeting, whether we need to do it on the 4th or the 18th.
Okay, we'll talk to Gail. Maybe Karen can talk to Gail. That's all.
Yeah, you know what?
We'll take action on the 21st.
Maria was just there kind of trying to learn, I think, so she might not have written it down, but...
Okay.
And then who's going to get this information to Gail, Karen, I guess? We'll get this.
Yeah, that would be appropriate.
Yeah.
Karen to relay this.
And then she can always tell them.
I'll talk to Gail tomorrow.
Yeah.
She could always tell everybody to listen to what we talked about in this meeting, get the tape or the audio.
Okay.
Sure.
Anything else on the cannabis topic? Any other unfinished business that anyone would like to?
Just to be clear, we would intend to tax at the maximum allowable state rate.
for that.
I don't know why we wouldn't.
I don't see why we would either.
2%.
I mean, the only reason we wouldn't is if we wanted to encourage someone looking for a location to
right.
go to our
and that's,
town.
Right, that's the only argument for it.
But, so.
But then why are we doing an ordinance to keep it as many out?
Yeah.
One or the other.
I presuppose
that, but I don't want to.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Now, New York has
either invite them in and get a lot of taxes, or
they're going
to
be.
They're not, because they're behind in the regulations, from what I'm hearing.
Oh, good.
But they're expecting it to cut into our revenues by like 15% once we're all up and running. But it's not that bad because we're regional and our people go there and their people come to our beaches. And
that's true.
So yeah,
those beaches bring them in.
Shall we go on?
All right, yeah, please.
On to new business. So the DPW manager has requested to advertise for seasonal summer employees. These are paid for out of the Clean Communities Grant, which he's confirmed with Joanne, who takes care of that money. He would like to offer an hourly rate of $17.50 for the period from June until September 1st. Is there a motion to authorize the DPW manager to advertise for employees?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 I would like to requesting permission.
And next we have the DPW manager's request to go out for bid for road materials. While blacktop is available through a co-op, he's found in the past better prices and better quality material from a local vendor. That requires him to go out for bid. My understanding last year we learned that we could actually propose to go out to bid for a 2-year period, which then would reduce that time to do it again next year. Is there a motion to approve any discussion or a motion to approve DPW manager to go out for a 2-year bid cycle on blacktop?
I make the motion for the DPW manager to go out for a bid for 2 years.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next, we have the police chief request to purchase Motorola WatchGuard body cameras. As we all know, the state has mandated by June 1st that all police departments now have body cameras. When we discussed it for the public in our interviews, we learned a lot about the impact that's going to be. The proposal that the chief has provided to us is under a state contract. He gave me the number today, state contract T010617-FLEET-00793. That's for the record. There was also some question about the certification of funds from the CFO, which looks to be available. But I would say subject to final confirmation of the state contract and the funds availability from the CFO, the proposal before us is for body cameras, backup of the operation software and training, total contract amount of $39,475 for a 5-year period. So that's approximately $8,000 per year for body cameras.
And we're probably going to get grants to cover most of it.
I don't know most. Definitely there are grants, but I think what we heard from the chiefs was they set a dollar amount for grants across the state, and then they found out how many departments don't have the required body cameras, so the grants have to go pretty far.
Okay.
And I don't know if it'll be most. I just don't want to mislead.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but did he say anything? I'm just curious. I never question what they do, but like, is this the body cameras that most of the departments are going to be using, or did he compare it to anything else?
It's the most recent, like it's the best technology.
Yeah, it's through the AG's office, right?
Huh?
Oh.
It's recommended, isn't this?
It's the recommended one because it's also the cloud-based one through the cloud-based server that has the securities on it,
mm-hmm.
and then we're not required to then keep a server here and all the aspects of security infiltration, so we're not managing the firewall and everything like that. It's that's what they do.
That's good. Know? Yeah, the editing is going to be I don't know how that's going to happen. Well, anyway,
that's another problem.
Another topic.
Yeah. So I'll make the motion to approve the $39,475 for the 5-year contract for the body worn cameras and evidence management software.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Is that based on certification of funds from the CFO?
Yes.
Yes, final certification and confirmation of the state contract number.
Okay, just want to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so next we have the historian's request to appoint a new member. Actually, Karen, do we have the paperwork in order for this appointment?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So the historians have requested to nominate Jean Van Duzer Lang as a member of the historians. She's provided us with some background of extremely relevant and impressive work. Any discussion? Anything you'd like to add as liaison to the historians?
Nothing to add.
Is there a motion to, I guess it's a mayor appointment, is there a motion to endorse the appointment of Jean Van Duzer Lang to the historians committee?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And last, we on the new business, we have the park dumpster discussion.
Yes, so last year we canceled the dumpsters. It was a six-yard dumpster up there because it was kind of getting abused. And also with COVID, the whole park and the use of the pavilion was kind of up in the air. This year, the park committee would like to get a dumpster back up there. They recognize they don't need as the six-yard dumpster. And talking to Kim, it's actually the pavilion is very well booked because I guess that's people's only reason of getting it, being able to get out is to be able to use the pavilion. I had reached out to Republic, who does our other dumpsters generally here. They actually took like 3 weeks to get back to me that morning. I actually just got frustrated because I didn't want the park committee to think I didn't ignore them. So I had called LMR, so that's why we have two quotes in there. But we also use LMR. LMR does all our big dumpsters and everything like that. So, I mean, we use both companies. And LMR is just a couple bucks cheaper. I don't think it makes a difference, quite frankly. It's trucks driving around, so they're picking up garbage. So,
Has there been a difference in service between the two of them?
Well, LMR has only done the big dumpsters for us in the past, you know, like the 30 yards at the dumpster days and stuff like that. But the fire department has LMR. They don't, you know. So, I mean, they have no issues with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the municipal has the dumpster here, the recycling dumpster, and the dumpster at the DPW garage with Republic. So, at that time when we went out to bid for those, they were the low bidder. Matt, I go to you since we had gotten pricing from both, and LMR is the lower, but Republic kind of does our other dump. Does it matter? Can we go with? I mean, do we go with lower, lowest? I don't. What? It kind of threw me for a loop because they just didn't respond, and it was like I figured you can get a dumpster price pretty quickly, and it kind of annoyed me after 3 weeks.
We have two quotes
from existing people who do services for us.
I mean, other than. Level of cert, we would need to not take the low one. We need to have a reason.
Okay, then I don't have a problem taking the low one. I just want to make sure that there's not a not a situation where the other one does services and we're obligated to them for some reason or not.
No.
Okay.
I mean,
that's fine.
I guess theoretically that could have been folded in, but I don't believe that it is.
That's fine.
I'm not aware of that.
Like I said, they. Kind of annoyed me with taking so long to get back to the price. So I would then make the motion to get the dumpster as the park committee, the 4-yard dumpster that the park committee requested to be put up in the parking lot above the pavilion from LMR for $145 a month.
And then Kim will have the key in here, I guess, so that
yeah,
it doesn't get.
Yeah, then they'll set up with a key lock, yeah. But you know, they yeah. had a previous one.
Did you make a motion?
I did.
You made a motion?
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Unless there's any other new business anyone would like to bring up? Takes us to presentation of vouchers.
Are we having the recycle, what is it, this at the DPW is this Saturday? Did we talk about that? Did we talk
Dumpster about Day is this Saturday, but the recycling memo is coming up in correspondence.
Oh, it's okay.
Set it up later in the year.
Okay. Sorry.
I have one from the New Jersey State Department of Health. This is for dog licensing, pilot clinic, animal population control items. So it's for $1,083. That's all I have.
I have one here for W.B. Mason Company, which is filing cabinets for $1,229.97. I have another one here for C&M Auto Parts for $1,185.88. Last one I have is for Morton Salt, three different delivery tickets for a total of $13,840.39.
I have DeFrancesco Bateman for our tax assessing attorney, left over from last year, $1,147. Finch Fuel Oil Company for municipal building and squad building, $2,374.79. General Code Publishers, $1,714.59. JCP&L Master Account for the month of February, $1,949.83. C&C Homes LLC, refund of a construction escrow in the amount of $9,577.50. Refund of construction escrow related to Block 10, Lot 20.01, $7,523. That's to Distinctive Builders LLC. And to Leslie Ross Parker, refund of a construction escrow in the amount of $6,835.50.
I have nothing over $1,000. Actually, nothing over a couple hundred dollars.
And I have none that apply either.
So the total voucher list is $64,148.63. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Oh, I got to sign it.
That takes us to correspondence, and here's the recycling memo. Joanne Fasinelli, our recycling, she's our recycling coordinator.
Yeah.
She would like to schedule a free townwide paper shredding event for September 18th, 2021, from the hours of 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. to be held at the Township Municipal Building. And then the curator's report.
So we're not going to, there's nothing here about Saturday.
Nothing here about Saturday. That was on a previous. There's a Township Cleanup Day Saturday at the DPW building.
Yeah, anything I guess it's everything, right, Tom? It's all the Township Cleanup Day. We're going to have that on Saturday.
That's tomorrow or Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah,
Saturday.
And yeah, it's everything. It's not electronics, but it is.
It's not electronics. Electronics
is a separate day. It's
okay. It's just like furniture and
On the website
and
would be the.
They usually have a metal dumpster there. Mm-hmm. If there's metal products that you bring in, mm-hmm, that goes in a separate dumpster altogether, and mostly it's household, items of no use. Mm. No tires, no paint, none of that stuff.
No hazardous material.
So the curator's report, the scholarship that they're doing on behalf of the historians, the deadline is April 15th. They've joined together with the county libraries to kind of perk the interest of the high school students. I notice here that they're having an activist, Kate Thimer, who's going to be there on April 15th to talk about the Carlisle Indian Industrial School, which is going to be an introduction, and it'll be a lecture.
I believe it's a video event.
Excuse me?
I believe that's a video event, not in person.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
A video event, yeah. And then they'll have another follow-up one. And they've put together some facts about the Hagedorn thing, which you guys probably see in front of me. I'm really having trouble pronouncing this woman's name. I'll just give it a shot at Mackay Wiglin, who was a well-known author and was really well-known for a book she wrote, which was The Years of Infamy, which was the untold story of Americans' concentration camps during World War II, which housed the Japanese, and it fueled a movement. So I guess this is pretty interesting where they're going with this. So I just wanted to put that out there for everyone. So, again, they continue to do their work there.
So that's the end of correspondence. Next would be public comment for any member of the public who would like to comment on any topic they would like. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. At this time, any member of the public, you'll have to press *6 to unmute yourself. Reminder, the meeting is recorded, will be posted on the website. Please state your name and the road you live on if you'd like to make a comment. We're not hearing anyone, so make sure you're pressing star 6 and unmuting yourself.
Hello?
Oh, yes, now we hear someone.
Yes, hello. My name is Evelyn Alvarez. I live on Bunch Street, and I'm actually calling regarding the cannabis. I know that you guys didn't really make any decisions today, but what I wanted to go ahead and say is, as a medical cannabis patient, I wanted to sort of correct a couple of things that were said during the discussion. You know, I know that it's like a funny thing, but for me it actually saved my life. I am here today because of cannabis. I can strongly say that. I have several conditions, including a rare genetic disorder that has shortened my lifespan to about 50 years. And I have actually coded multiple times in my life before cannabis. And I am walking again thanks to cannabis. My children have their mother back thanks to cannabis. And this community has me as a volunteer back because I do actually do a lot in this community. One of the things I wanted to say is that I know that 1,000 pounds sounds like a lot, but when you cure cannabis, you reduce that to about 70% to 80%. So it's not 1,000 pounds. It's not going to be that much. And the current cannabis recreational law states that it is up to 1,000 pounds. So it's not the minimum, it is actually the maximum, meaning that we as a township do not have to say, okay, 1,000 pounds is great or it's too much or too little. That's actually the most that the law allows for in the micro cannabis business. Secondly, I wanted to say that consumption, believe it or not, consumption happens on your public street because as a medical patient, I actually have, according to the law, the right to consume cannabis anywhere on any public street in any public location besides a beach, besides a state park, and obviously private property. I personally choose not to do that because I am a mother of three. I have three teenagers, so I fully understand that. Also, because of my background as somebody who came from medicine, I was in nursing and in public health for a very long time. I understand that there are certain things that, you know, we don't know yet about cannabis because, unfortunately, it has not been descheduled, as we know. Federally, it is scheduled, one, as opiates and as cocaine, which is insanity because, you know, cannabis did not almost kill me, but opiates did. I have been in chronic pain since I was 9 years old, again, because of my genetic disorder, and the first time I was handed opiates was when I was 14 years old. Cannabis has not only been an exit drug for me, it has also, like I mentioned, saved my life. I no longer have seizures while I was off of the cannabis and on pharmaceutical prescription medications. I was having up to 30 with my anticonvulsants. With cannabis, it's been over 4 years since I had a seizure. Those of you that know me know that I take this topic very seriously. It is no laughing matter for me, as it literally has given my children their mother back. So if you're worried about consumption, spoiler alert, it's already happening. Anybody in this township that has a medical license has the right to consume publicly. Now, I fully understand, as a mother of three, as I mentioned, and as somebody with a history of, you know, medicine in my background, I get why we don't think it's ideal to have what one of the members, said about cannabis, like a, you know, Woodstock or an open field of cannabis consumption. But I think that given the fact that I, as a medical patient for over 5 years, have followed every single law according to medical cannabis, I don't drive unless I have, you know, waited the necessary 3 hours. I think that we can all be very responsible. We've been doing it for decades here. We've been doing it for multiple years here in New Jersey, not just in the United States, but here in New Jersey. I will say that for those of you that have any concern about driving past a cannabis dispensary or having to explain to your children what cannabis is, I would say that you have more to worry about by driving past a liquor store. You have more to worry by driving past the Walgreens on 513 because they actually sell the drugs that I particularly myself was addicted to by no fault of my own. So I would encourage as much cannabis, you know, conversation as possible. I will say that I was grateful that you guys seem to respect that. You guys seem to understand that it would bring a lot of wonderful business to this area. That said, I also wanted to touch on somebody from the public saying last time that they would want police activity there to be monitoring traffic or whatever else they believe needs to be monitored. As a medical patient, I have been visiting as I mentioned, dispensaries for over 5 years here in New Jersey. And one of the requirements that New Jersey state law has set up and wonderfully set up is that each dispensary and each location, whether it's a grow site or a cure site or a distribution wholesale site, they actually have to, by law, provide their very own private security. And we're not talking just like, you know, somebody that's out of shape or whatever. Every dispensary that I have visited myself has been former Marines, former military. We're talking people that really fully understand what it's like to secure a location. So I personally do not think that that would even be necessary, given the fact that New Jersey has already laid down very strict laws and regulations in how we, as the public, are allowed to, number one, consume, but also even to purchase cannabis. For the medical perspective, I have to go not only with my medical license, but I also have to prove that I am from this state and a citizen of the United States, because I have to literally give my ID when I go ahead and purchase my cannabis. Recreationally, I believe that that will also be required. Obviously not a medical license, but you have to prove that you are 21. You can't just walk in off the street. And I will tell you that the security there is stricter than at some liquor stores that I have been to. So I just wanted to sort of give everybody a little bit of encouragement to understand that cannabis is something that we don't understand just yet, only because federally we haven't been able to study it, but there are parts all over the world that have studied it. And I personally have seen the benefit that it has given to me. I know that we're discussing recreational, but I also just kind of wanted to touch on the medical component, just because so many people seem to be concerned about the fact that we have now, as New Jersey said, it's okay to recreationally consume and possess cannabis. I also wanted to welcome anybody on the committee, committee team. If they have any questions, feel free to come to me. I am actually in contact with several other advocates in New Jersey, including people that can actually sit down and explain to you each part of the law. It seems that you guys, obviously by no fault of your own, it's a very new legislation, don't seem to fully understand exactly what has been written. I can tell you, as somebody who has been involved in the conversation and in the talks for multiple years, pushing for recreational, because recreational gives me better medical access as a patient. It lowers the cost. Myself, right now, I spend about $1,500 out of pocket on my medication. I would welcome anybody on the committee to say that they spend the same amount of prescription medication that's life-saving for them. That's what I pay here in New Jersey as a medical patient. So to me, recreational will be a huge deal. It'll be a bonus, because hopefully that means supply and demand, right? The prices will have to go down for me, and I will be able to actually afford my medication. There have been many months where I've had to have COVID without medication, meaning I am in extreme pain and at risk for having yet more seizures than I've had. So I just wanted to take a moment and say that anybody that would love to have a conversation with me, I am here. I can discuss whatever you need to discuss, and whatever I personally don't know, I can point you in the right direction. I have lawyers. I have friends who are advocates. I have friends who have actually sat down with legislation and helped to write the law. So we can certainly clarify whatever part of the law you do not understand, as, you know, just common people who don't necessarily understand cannabis because you've never used it maybe more than recreationally. I also wanted to say that as a mother of three, I fully understand, you know, the concern, but I can guarantee you that education is key. My children understand and respect cannabis because they know it is what saved their mother's life, and it is what has been, you know, granted to me by the state as a legal medication. Once we go to recreational, I fully understand why there is concern, but I really want to say once again, there is no difference driving past a dispensary as there is driving back past a liquor store. In fact, the liquor store is probably way more clinically, you know, dangerous, because it is more harmful and more addictive and can cause way more problems than cannabis ever has. So, that's pretty much all I wanted to say. Again, 1,000 pounds of cannabis is going to be reduced about 70-80%. I think it would be great for Lebanon Township. I know that a lot of local businesses and a lot of local farmers have been hurting. According to New Jersey, you'd be able to employ up to 10 people. That's 10 more people that had a job than before. 2,500 square feet, as somebody mentioned, you know, Walmart over on Route 22, that's actually a grow site. So we can definitely look at places where it's worked and where people have been employed by this, and it has boomed their economy. taxes, you know, we can tax recreational. This is a great deal for me because now I no longer will be taxed medically because, yes, I have been paying taxes on my medication. It would be the similar, like basically the same as telling somebody who has, you know, epilepsy, which is one of the things that I have, they have to pay taxes on their anticonvulsants. So that will be a great relief to me as a medical patient as well as a constituent of Lebanon Township. That's basically all I wanted to say, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to be able to speak. Again, if anybody has any questions, please feel free to go ahead and reach out to me, and I will be more than happy to sit down and have a conversation. And again, if I don't know the answer, I will point you in the right direction. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your compelling story and information.
Thank you. I don't know how to unmute it.
go back to mute. Try star 5. I'm not exactly sure, but
okay.
Thank you. Next member of the public, you would need to press star 6. Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. It's Adam. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we hear you.
All right. And it is star 6 to go back to mute, just so you know.
Star 6 to go back.
Star 6, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So, Adam Duckworth, 176 Muskinek Kong River Road. I just wanted to add a couple comments here. One, it was great to hear that we have a new email system coming along, so sign me up. I'll be the first one of the first volunteers if you're looking for somebody. So, really glad to hear that, Mark. Thank you for the work there. I also wanted to say that you make a couple comments on the whole conversation around planning for agendas and you know running the meeting. So, you know, as I run our meetings for the Environmental Commission as the chairman there, I do just want to acknowledge that it's a lot of work and it's hard work to prepare for and run a good meeting. And you know, I make a lot of decisions when I plan the meetings for the Environmental Commission. So, you know, as the chairman, I do look at appropriateness. So, if someone wants to come and give an hour presentation on dog walking, you know, I politely say, you know, no thank you. That's not really within the scope of our Environmental Commission. I also look to, you know, manage people's time and priorities. So if 8 environmental groups want to get a half hour on our agenda, obviously no one wants a 5-hour meeting. So, you know, I would, you know, obviously choose one, suggest others go to future meetings and, you know, manage the agenda that way. I found it, you know, a little odd when, you know, people suggested that, you know, anyone that wants to get on the township committee agenda should be allowed to do that without, you know, any gatekeeper, as you call it. You know, it's really important to have a facilitator for the meetings, and that's typically what the chairman or the mayor or the planning board lead would do, and that's their job. So, you know, I hope that you can all work together and, you know, and trust your mayor to work with the clerk to be that person and, you know, just take some common sense approaches there. So thank you. That's all I wanted to share.
Thank you. If the next member of the public, make sure you press star 6 to unmute yourself.
Hi, this is Laramie Silver again.
We hear you.
I really could not possibly say better than Evelyn did. I want to thank her for sharing her personal experience as a cannabis patient, and I think her testimony really highlights an important gap in knowledge that people who have not been closely involved with illegal and medical cannabis community may have through no fault of their own. I don't know much about nuclear physics. I don't with the things we haven't had contact with. So I would love to see a citizens group formed who can share that knowledge with the committee without you all having to take your valuable time to go out and reinvent the wheel. I've been educating healthcare professionals about medical cannabis since about 2013, and Evelyn obviously has wonderful information. I'm sure there are other in the township as well who have good experiences that would be valuable to be shared with the committee. So I would love to see that happen and would be certainly willing to volunteer my time for that. It's an extremely well-researched plant. So there's lots of great information out there. Like I said, I would be happy to lend my time to helping the committee access. There's lots of not just research on the chemistry of cannabis, but data from other states that have legalized already. And one of the things that has been consistently shown is that legalization does not increase the use by underage folks. So things like worrying that a student might pass a dispensary at a bus stop, it's just not maybe the biggest concern. It's not going to turn them into a reefer madness raving drug addict because they see a dispensary any more than because they see their parents responsibly have a glass of wine in the evening is going to turn them into a raving alcoholic. Adults modeling responsible normalization use is the best way to combat use abuse, really, because the prohibition is a huge part of the draw. The fastest way to get a teenager to do something is to tell them they're not allowed to. We all know that. I know some of you have kids. We know this. So I would also just say as far as the minimum size allotment, especially for growing, because we are an agricultural community, I would hate to see our farmers lose out on an economic opportunity that they so very badly need. And I think this is an instance where there's already state regulations in place that are going to keep a, you know, very tight control on anything. But if a farmer can make a viable business on a smaller plot of land, and it complies with all the other regulations like the water runoff and highlands and minimum setbacks that we already have lots of zoning regulations in place for those kind of things, I don't see any reason that we should deny our farmers that market opportunity there, with the regulations that are already in place to maintain clean water and things like that. Since we are an agricultural community, we want to be able to keep our farmers here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next member of the public, star 6 to unmute yourself. We're not hearing any member of the public. Hearing no one further from the public attempting to make a comment. Is there a motion to close public comment?
I make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, we have an item to take up in executive session related to American Tower request related to the cell phone tower behind the municipal building. It would be under a contract negotiation exemption for executive session. Is there a motion for resolution 45-2021? And I should note that we expect no action after executive session, so we would drop the call when we go into executive session.
I'll make a motion for resolution 45-2021 to go into executive session for American Tower.
Second.